This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to the supersize 150th episode. What did you watch this week? My name's Mike.
My name's John. It's a bold statement, my friend. You're saying that it's supersized, even though it might not be as big as some of the other ones we've done. It might be bigger. We might have had some that were bigger in the past. And I know, as they say,
that's what she said.
Size doesn't always matter. It's not the size of the boat, but whether or not you're willing to leave it in port long enough for everyone to get off.
I always thought it was the motion of the ocean.
Tell the Titanic about that one.
We're adults. We are adults.
So we got a lot to talk about this week.
We do, we do. You won't know this, the listener, but we didn't record last week.
Well, now they know it.
Well, but I'm just saying, though, you wouldn't know it otherwise. So right. We actually have 2 weeks of episodic television to go over.
Right, because Mike's job has him working on a four-on-two-off schedule, which means that every week his days off come one earlier.
They rotate.
So, like, 1 week he'll have Thursday and Friday off. The next week it's Wednesday, Thursday. Then right. It's Tuesday, Wednesday. So if we're not careful, we can get into a place where we were at a while ago where we've got, like, a backlog of stuff because we're like, oh, we'll record on Tuesday, and then I'll put it up on Sunday, but then we're going to record on Sunday, and
that's not going to go for another week.
Right.
And then we have to record before that episode
exactly.
comes out. So
we kind of pumped the brakes.
Yeah.
We still gave an episode last week, which was episode 149, which we had recorded, but then we just kind of, like, pumped the brakes a little bit.
Yeah.
And now we're here to present episode 150 in all its grandioseness.
So we actually have double-sized episodes to talk about.
A lot of them. It's like, well, I watched two episodes of this, or...
But at the same time, a lot of shows, like, weren't on. Like, The Blacklist did 2 episodes 2 weeks ago, but no episode this week.
Right.
No CW shows this week. I don't even know if there was CW shows last week.
I don't think that there were.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Some of these shows. And then there's some new shows that came on. I haven't watched any of them.
Oh, that's too bad. I was going to talk about them.
Well... I have so many shows I'm watching now that I don't feel like I even have time to watch with everything going on. I don't really want to add to the list. I mean, I added The Passage. I'm glad I did, but
yeah.
It's only like 8 episodes this season or something like that.
Oh, really? We must be almost done then.
Yeah, next week's the last one, I believe. So
this is in my news section, but I wanted to bring it up now since you kind of talked about
it. Sure.
I don't know if you had read this, but the strong rumor, like there are rumors out there, and then there are strong rumors when it looks like this is really likely. The strong rumor right now is that next year on the crossover event, the DC crossover event, that they're going to axe everything except for Flash from the DC universe on TV.
Oh, I heard it was just going to be Arrow and Legends. I thought Supergirl was going to be sticking around. Oh,
nope. No. The next day
they said Supergirl. The next day I said Supergirl possibly as well.
Yeah, and they might bring Superman on to replace it.
And Batwoman's supposed to be premiering as well. And I also heard that there's a possibility with this, Elseworlds?
No, Elseworlds is what we just had.
Crisis on Infinite. Yeah. They might pull Black Lightning into this universe.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
And make it part of the universe with this.
Maybe.
I heard that as well. So, what do you think about that? What do you think about them? I mean, Arrow's got, 7 seasons under its belt, so another half season.
And they're half garbage.
Right. And Legends, I love Legends.
I do too. But it opens the door for something else.
Oh, I also heard Constantine might be coming back as a regular series.
See, I could see that.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good move on their part. If they're going to bring something in like Crisis on Infinite Earths where universes are going to get destroyed, then it's probably for the best that they start thinning the herd and say, let's restart. You know, let's flashpoint this back to something good.
Keep Flash around, but get rid of Supergirl, which Supergirl started on CBS and they got pulled to CW. So they got
canceled. It was so good for the first couple.
They got canceled and saved anyways, right? And Legends, hot and cold, but man, last season and this season have been phenomenal.
Yes.
And Arrow has just kind of been running. It's run its course.
It really has run its course.
Which, it's a shame, because Stephen Amell's really the guy who fostered all this. He's the one that pushed for all this, pushed for Constantine coming back, pushed for, you know, I think he even had a hand in, like, or a voice in, like, we should get Supergirl over here. Mm-hmm. You know, so...
Oh, yeah, and he's a great guy. He does a lot for cancer. Yeah, he does a lot of good stuff. But, yeah, maybe he's ready, too. I mean, 7 years is the same character. That's got to kind of take a toll on you.
It probably does.
Look at Doctor Who. You know, they're averaging, like, 3 seasons.
Yeah, that's true. Doctor. Yeah, and they, So, I mean, I guess, I mean, I definitely could see them doing something like that.
I mean, hell, I heard rumors that Carlos Valdez is going to be leaving Flash after this season. No more Vibe.
Huh.
Which... Cisco is kind of the lifeblood of that team.
Yeah, like, he really like, kind of is.
We can't have the show without him. He's great. So I hope that one doesn't come true. But the rest of it, I could live with.
What if they got rid of Vibe and then, like, they did something like have Brainiac be on Flash now? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, or, like, because, I mean, they could do something. Like, I could see, if they say they did away with Arrow, I could see them bringing the character back every once in a while.
Right.
Unless they killed them somehow.
Right, right. Or, you know, wrote them out of existence type of thing.
Right. But, I mean, I could see them bringing the character back somehow or, I mean, because they have already talked about, you know, Batgirl, Batwoman's getting her own show.
Mm-hmm.
And then
and they're fleshing it out with different characters. And
then I would not complain about a new Superman show.
No.
Not at all.
Nope.
So it definitely seems like we've said this before, but the DC TV universe has definitely got their shit together compared to the DC cinematic universe.
Well, and then we run into the other question of are they going to put it back on the CW, or are they going to take all those properties and load up on DC All Access is what I'm calling it. But, I mean, they've got Doom Patrol
DC
and
DC Universe,
Titans.
Yeah.
You know, are they going to take Flash over there and say, this is where we're going to build our TV legacy, no more CW type of thing? If they were threatening to cancel that many shows, I don't know that it would. If they're like, well, now let's start up.
Is it CW that's threatening to cancel those shows, or is it
that I don't know,
or is it what's his name, Miller,
Greg Miller?
Greg, is it Greg Miller saying, hey, this is what our path is. This is what we're doing.
I don't know,
because I mean, honestly, it would be a good way to try to, you know, kind of cancel Arrow without. Because think about it. I mean, these shows are so intertwined. I mean, it would be hard to cancel Arrow or even Legends, mostly Arrow, and have it not be brought up on Flash at all.
Right. Yep.
Because they still do little mini crossover things here and there every once in a while.
Yep.
But, you know, this Crisis on Infinite Earths would explain that. Also might be a way to bring the Ray back.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
So... it could be, you know, it could be very interesting.
And, of course, this is all speculation because it's not even happening until next fall.
Right.
You know, we've got to get through the rest of this season, all of summer, the first part of fall, and then the actual crossover. Unless they're going to start the crossovers right in the fall. We don't know. You know?
That'd be an interesting way to launch the season, wouldn't it?
Right, right. If they planned on canceling them as a result, then they could either do it...
If they did it right at the beginning of the season, and then they launched... the new shows right after as well, like Batwoman, or if they brought back Constantine as its own show or whatever they did, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
I like it.
I do too.
I don't hate it.
Nope.
Arrow, I struggle to watch.
I do as well.
I mean, like you said, I like Stephen Amell as a person, the way he's presented himself publicly, you know?
Yes.
But yeah, I do struggle to watch Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow.
Yeah.
I just looked it up, and there's 10 episodes of... The Passage. We're getting one episode Monday night, the 4th of March.
Okay.
And then the two episodes finishing it up on March 11th.
Okay.
So there's only 3 episodes left.
So this week we watched episodes 6 and 7. I want to know what you taste like and...
You are not the sun. You are like the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I did watch those episodes.
Well, let's talk about them since we're right here.
Okay.
Can we talk about shows and stuff?
Sure.
My sister said something interesting to me the other day, because she had watched these before I did, and she said, you know, if you think the girl that plays Amy Belafonte on this show blows away Cal from Manifest as an actor, she goes, just wait till you see these two episodes. She wasn't kidding. This kid
she's
has
amazing.
Some acting chops.
Yeah, that little girl is awesome.
She sells it like nobody's business.
Yes.
Like, she... could turn on a dime, like, you know, crying and overly emotional, but then, like, sucking it up and being like, I think of her 200 times a day. And
Yep.
You know.
She's still got that little kid mentality, though, even though she's, you know, older, obviously, of, like, when the agent pissed her off because he wouldn't go back to get her book.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, she didn't express the importance of the book, but she, you know, and she was doing whatever the new, I can't, I don't know what his name is, but the new guy that came in to take over.
Oh, my God, the slime ball. Yeah. With the pedo mustache.
Yeah, yeah.
She was commenting, she's like, you and your creepy mustache.
Yeah. She's, like, basically, like, oh, doing whatever he wants.
But, like the agent's wife said, you know, so much has been decided for her in her life. She wants to be able to decide for herself. And,
yep.
And this creepy pedo guy was kind of doing that. You know, he's like, hey, Amy, what do you think?
What do you think? Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So he was giving her that agency that allowed her to feel like she could run her life.
Right.
I'm really digging this show.
Yeah, I am too. It actually surprises me just how much I am digging this show.
Yep. It's become a show that I look forward to. Like, yes. I go, oh boy, I get to sit down and watch The Passage. I love that the agent keeps being called the agent.
Yes, she just refers to him as the agent.
To the point where even some of the adults, when they're talking to her, say, well, you've got the agent.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the order of things that happen in the episodes.
Okay. Well, the doctor's wife, who was succumbing to Alzheimer's,
yes.
They gave her the treatment, and she's kind of aware now, and she's kind of cognizant, but then they kind of have to tell her, because the head vampire there, which we're just going to call them vampires.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're vampires.
We saw what happened with the redneck.
Well, I like that point when Mark Paul Goss was like, when are you going to call them vampires?
Yeah, because now this guy bit somebody, drained them, and instantly transmitted.
He was turning people.
Yep.
And then they were all being attacked, and when he got killed,
they all died. Yep.
And then, of course, they were going to kill Fanning and everybody else, but that was going to kill Amy, and that was going to kill the doctor's wife, which she's dead now.
Because she didn't want to live like that.
Yeah, exactly.
She came too long enough to say, look, don't make me live like that.
Yep.
We had our life together. Let me have that.
Yeah.
I don't think Fanning's going to be happy about that.
Oh, God, no.
Fanning was counting on his 12, and now she's gone. That's one less.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really like the, I can't even think of her name, but the blonde girl.
You know, the blonde vampire girl. Yes.
I really like her.
I like that we got to see her story.
Yep, we got to see her story. And now she's manipulative, but she's not evil.
Yes.
Well, she's not as evil, you know.
Well, okay, she murdered her stepdad. She murdered her mom.
Yep.
And her stepdad.
Yep.
And not going to say justifiable homicide, but she tells her mom that her stepdad raped her repeatedly from age, like, 6 to 12 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom was like, knew what happened, and then blamed her for it.
Right.
Like, well, you let him on, or you let him do it, or you liked it, or whatever.
Yep.
And, like, I mean, I'm like, she deserved to die. Like, realistically? Yeah.
So then we've got her getting into the agent's friend's head.
Yeah.
You know, manipulating him and Shauna Babcock is her.
Yes, Shauna.
So she's getting into his head, manipulating him. But then in one of the more recent episodes, we get to see her in the female doctor's head.
Yes.
Because they were friends. They kind of formed a friendship back when she was first given the treatment and she wanted to see a horror movie. And
Nicole Stikes there, yes. They saw The Fly and they kind of bonded together. They went to the movie theater and saw, they went to the theaters and saw a movie.
No. They saw the Cronenberg version of The Fly because that's a very big distinction.
Sorry.
But then Nicole couldn't take her off campus, so she went and watched A Quiet Place and came back and told her about it.
Oh, yeah,
because
that's
that was
right.
her request.
Yeah.
But they bonded over pizza and movies and stuff like that. And so she basically tells Nicole, she's like, this isn't going to work out for you.
Right.
You know, this place is going down in flames. We are going to destroy it. We win. Sorry. Sucks to be you.
Right, yeah. Sorry, the noise you're hearing is my dryer. I meant to pause it before we started recording and I forgot. And it plays a song when it's done drying the laundry so we can hear it. It's almost done.
Seems
it's
like a very
long
driver, dryer.
It is. Dun, 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 dun. See, it's all done now.
So, by the end of these two episodes, I'm summing up, but we can obviously get more into it. But by the end of these two episodes, we find that, you know, the agent's best friend there remembers their time together, remembers how we got to see the flashback of how the agent's daughter died.
Yes.
Which was brutal.
Oh, it was bad. They were putting together a party for the end of the soccer season. And he's at the store to buy markers. The guy's holding the store up. She walks in to bring her dad a wallet, and he turns and shoots her.
Yep.
And then, you know, the agent, his friend, who's like the head of security, finds him and says, I shouldn't be giving you this, but this is where he is. And eventually the agent kills him.
Yeah, hunts him down, kills him.
Yeah.
And then says, I got to turn myself in. And the guy's like, what good is that going to do?
I could not believe that he killed him. I'm not going to lie. Right. And then his friend shows up after, and he's like, and then part of me is like, did his friend let him do it so then he could position him into taking this job to go bring these death row people back because he knew how good he was at talking people? Or was he like, shit, I made a mistake, and then he goes to find his friend, finds out what he did, and then helps him cover it up?
I think, and again, this is all speculation because it could be any of those, but I think he knew that no matter what, the agent was going to go find this guy and do something to him.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
He was just making it as quick and easy as possible so that no other people got hurt. He's like, here's exactly where he'll be, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, because he sits down with him and he's like, do you feel any better? And he's like, no, I should turn myself in. He's like, it's not going to do any good. Come work with me.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get you back on the right path. And
he tells his wife.
Eventually.
Yeah. Like, well, now he tells his wife now while they're tied up in a trunk together, about to be, because the creepy porn stash, which Orange Is the New Black, and now this apparently.
Yep.
But the creepy porn stash guy basically wants the agent and his wife killed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're going to get in the way of his manipulation of Amy.
Right.
Because all he cares about is we have a weapon now.
Right.
Man, that guy. I don't know if they consciously had him grow that mustache so he could be so freaking, like, just disgusting or what, but
that voice goes really well with him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a creepy voice.
Yeah.
Not like,
geez, baby, what do you think we should do?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
It's creepy. It's bad.
Yeah. Like, like young Richard Dreyfuss, but, you know, on a much creepier scale, kind of.
And when he tells his wife what he did, she doesn't actually seem all that surprised. Mm-mm.
And she's not that upset either.
No.
Because she asks him the same thing. Do you feel better? Did it make you feel better? And he's like, not really.
Yeah. But, you know, because, and they also finally do that, it forces them to have the talk they haven't had that they've been avoiding the whole time.
Right.
Which is, like, he feels guilty, like it's his fault, and she's like, I feel like it's my fault, too. And he's like, why? Because he never took the time to think how she felt. She's like, because if I wouldn't have put work as a priority, and I would have done this party and done it right, then you would never have been there to buy markers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she lays it all out. She's like, I didn't have to take that surgery, but I chose to. And I had bought the markers at lunch, but I forgot to put them in the box. If I put the markers in the box, we'd be home right now eating dinner.
Yeah.
Like, she's got it all laid out. She's like thinking about
this. Oh, absolutely. So it was good. Well, it was good. I like the point where, you know, Martin, the agent and his wife are trying to go back to rescue Amy. Because his focus now is he's got to rescue Amy because she's the surrogate for his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his friend's on the walkie because he knows he has one. He's like, look, I think you have a tail. And Mark Paul Garson just doesn't believe him, doesn't want to believe him. And then, they got a tail. And then his friend followed the other guy and saves him.
It was cool watching them, like, undo the zip ties.
Yes.
And then he's like, okay, it was very Liam Neeson.
They're going to take you.
Yep.
Yeah. He's like, this is going to take
me out first.
Yeah.
They're going to put me down. You know, it's going to happen very quickly, quicker than you can even imagine.
Yeah.
Just stay low and be ready because I'm going to take care of this. And then when they get taken, when the buddy comes and shoots the guy and saves them, he basically says, well, what's our next step? And the guy's like, you need to come back with me to Noah and figure out a plan to get you guys out of there because I can see it's about to become a shit show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's basically like,
I'm finally seeing what a shit show this is.
He's like, I'm on your side, but we got to do this the right way. So don't vanish. Come back with me.
Yeah. And the doctor, too, the Nicole.
Yes.
She's like, she already tried to help them get escape. Mm-hmm. But then when that vampire escaped, it kind of blew that plan up.
Yep.
But at the same time, when the agent gets out of the car, he locks his wife back in the trunk and he takes out those two people very skillfully.
Yes.
Yes. Like, and then when she gets out of the car and she sees, like, the two dead people on the ground, she's just like, she probably didn't realize just what her husband was capable of.
It's one thing to say, you know, I kill somebody.
or this happened, or yeah.
But then when you actually see a dead body and you realize that it was at the hands of the person that you're.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine that was pretty. But again, people really sell stuff well on this show. I'm impressed. Like,
I was on a related note, but not really. I was watching John Wick last night at work because while I was doing some schoolwork, I had just something on in the background.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, there's a few scenes I just stop and stare at the screen and go, oh, my God. So, like, the scene where the where Viggo sends the 12 hitman to the 12 man team to Wick's house to take him out and they all fail. Mm-hmm. I announced to the room with my coworkers, hey, you know, in movies when they just have like the generic henchmen guys get killed and murdered and their bodies just get disposed of. Do you think they have families? Do you think their families miss them or wonder what happened to them? Like, and then where do these people come from? These no-name henchmen people who just get wiped out, massacred.
What a Ripped Apparel's t-shirts of the day.
Oh, John man, Wick. That John Wick one's awesome.
He's not the boogeyman. He's the one who kills
the boogeyman. That's awesome.
And groovy by nature.
Yeah, that's cool too.
But yeah, so you said that, it made me think of it.
Nice. But anyhow, yeah. I don't know, it was just kind of funny to me. What happens to the generic henchman? And one more thing. I remember back when they had the old 1966 Batman series. Mm-hmm. They did like a little short film. It was like 15 minutes long. It was basically an episode, but they called it a short film where they introduced Batgirl. And they created a new villain that was just that only in that episode. And it took place at the library where Barbara worked. And the villain's henchmen literally had shirts on that said, henchmen. Like, across the front of them.
Nice.
Like
it's all about branding.
I almost want one of those shirts. It's just plain letters, just says henchmen. Henchmen. Yeah. So anyways, back to the show. Yes, this show is awesome. It's definitely one I look forward to watching. And the story is very compelling.
Yeah.
And when we were talking earlier about how there's some new shows on, I haven't bothered to watch them because I have so many shows now, and yada, yada, but I just happened to watch it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch The Passage because I like, you know, MPG, and I'm so glad I did.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
Honestly, the first time I saw the trailers for it, I was like, I'm going to pass. This looks dumb.
I was like, eh, whatever. But.
Wow.
Yeah. So 3 episodes left.
Yeah.
I'm very, very excited to see where it goes. And you were right. And like Juice said, you know, the actress that plays Amy, tremendous.
Great kid.
Tremendous. Imagine if they had a good actor like that playing Cal on Manifest, maybe it wouldn't be so bad.
Right.
I doubt it.
And a budget for special effects.
There's so much that's wrong with that show. Freaking, speaking of budget for special effects, are you caught up on the Orville?
Yes. Holy God.
The space battle?
We'll get
that later, yes. But I'm just saying, like, I was...
I did the same thing. I'm just looking at it, and I'm like...
Yeah, for a TV show?
Yeah, Seth MacFarlane went, you know what, tap into the piggy banks over here.
Yeah, because I watched, I'm like, talking about blowing all your budget on one episode.
No shit.
Anyway. Yeah. So, The Passage was great. We agree on that.
So you said that you did not watch either of the two new shows, Whiskey Cavalier or The Enemy Within?
No, I didn't. And I'll say this real quick. Sure. Rude gave me kind of the lowdown on Whiskey Cavalier, and he really enjoyed it. He thought it was more like of a comedy spy thing.
Yep.
But his main concern is that he's waiting for episode 2, obviously, but his concern is if they put it all in the pilot.
Yeah. It's really over the top.
Yeah.
Really over the top. And yeah, right in the pilot, the main guy there, Whiskey Cavalier, we find out that, you know, he's mourning the loss of his betrothed, the woman that he was going to get married to. And we get to see flashbacks of him like almost proposing to her and her being like, no, I can't. And, you know, they've been broken up for a year. And then by the end of the episode, him and his best friend, who's also in the agency, are holed up in a safe house that happens to be, you know, where his best friend was taking his new girlfriend, who he's been seeing for 7 months, and who is Whiskey's ex-girlfriend, fiance. So his best friend's been doinking her behind his back. And
of course.
And it's so over the top. Like, we're talking like Charlie's Angels level of over the top kind of stuff, dude. Like, just right out of left field. The stuff that these people do, the stunts they perform, the tampon bomb. I mean, yes, there's literally, she has a tampon bomb and she pulls out the string and the little tip starts flashing red and she kind of gives a nod and then tosses it and it blows up and distracts the bad guy long enough that It's really, I'm not sure how I feel about it yet.
All I can think of is it's like one of those, like, fake money packs they put into a bank robbery where it explodes blue. Does this explode, like, red paint everywhere? Or is it like
that would be great. Explosion? It was an actual explosion. But,
okay.
So, yeah, jury's out for me. I don't know if I like it or not, but.
What about the other new show?
The Enemy Within, I think I'm not going to like this show.
Yeah?
It's really serious, and they're trying to make her out to be like this Sherlock Holmes kind of person. You know, she knew all about everything that was going on, and she can walk into a room, and they do these little flashes on things of her looking around. And the whole point is that she was locked away because she worked with some terrorist guy. She was supposed to be anti-terrorism, you know, yeah, intelligence agent. And she allegedly worked with this guy who they thwarted his bombing. So he killed 4 people who were in charge of the bombing.
Right.
We find out by the end of the episode that the reason was he called her up on FaceTime and was showing her a video of her child and said, "You give me their names or I kill your child."
And she, yeah, that's in the commercial.
Yeah. Well, they don't even tell it till the end of the episode. Like, they make you live the whole episode up till that point. Like, why is she locked away? She really worked with this guy? So, yeah, it was a bad marketing position on their part.
Yeah, and so she gave him the info.
Yeah, so now they're working with her, but most people don't like her. They consider her a traitor to the country. And
Yeah, it sounds, yeah, I'm not going to bother.
No, it's like that new show FBI that came out, and I watched one episode and went pass.
Yeah, it's like, there's another new show, what is it, Presumed Innocent?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna take up that mantle.
No.
I'm good.
She was wrongly accused, and now she wants to be a lawyer and help other people who are wrongly accused. You can only milk that for so long.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, give a big pass.
Exactly.
So I am caught up on You're the Worst.
So there were 2 episodes there.
Sure. Well, no, well, yes, because there was the last episode we left off is, Jimmy gave Gretchen a free week.
Fuck week,
yeah. And she allegedly fucked the guy at the last day.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jimmy's like, "Well, I got a blow job before fuck week started, and so that's why I did that." And then, and I feel like there's only one. There's 2 episodes because there was 1 episode without Jimmy and
Gretchen
in it all
until the very, very end.
Yes, that's right. Let's skip that episode real quick.
Yeah, because that was the one that came after. So if we want to do them in order.
I don't know what order I watched them in, I guess, then.
Couple's Friends.
So, anyway, so Gretchen's still pissed at Jimmy, but and she's basically said to him, "Look, just leave me alone. Let me be angry.
Right.
I don't want to cuddle with you. I don't want to have sex with you. I don't know anything. I just want you to let me be angry."
Yeah.
And Jimmy jokingly offers to give someone a blowjob as to kind of...
Right, because he can't accept that. He's like, he wants to make it right.
He wants to talk about it. He wants to flesh this out. He doesn't want to wait on it, which I can understand that.
Yeah, I can understand both sides. Sometimes you just want to sit there and stew in it, and sometimes you really want to get it out and be like, "Let's just clear the air and be done with it."
Yes.
So
Jimmy basically jokingly offers to, like, suck someone's dick.
That way it's all washed clean.
Yeah, so that way we're even, you know. And she basically says, "Okay, fine, do it. You do that, I won't be angry anymore, or just let me be angry."
Yeah.
"Don't talk to me about it anymore." Right. So they're at a cake tasting, and they meet this other couple who's there at the cake tasting, but they're already married, but their wedding didn't go the way they wanted, so basically they live to screw the wedding industry in any way they can.
So they go to all these cake tastings.
"This is our 4th cake tasting today," you know, like that and everything. She's, "If you want, we can help you out with us." She's like, "Yes, we have no morals at all," you know. And so Gretchen's all excited to have couples friends.
Yep. Jimmy's not.
Jimmy's not at all.
But neither is the other guy. He's
Quinn.
Quinn is, he's kind of into it, but kind of not.
Yeah. Like, they go, so I like how their first date together, whatever it is, double date. They're sitting there eating dinner. Oh, they're at Jimmy's place having wine night on the balcony. And she's like, Jimmy's like, "We've never actually done this before." Yeah. It's like, "Why not? The view's gorgeous." And they both look. And they're like, "Oh, wow, it is." But as long as he's lived there, he's never actually looked at the view. And so Jimmy and Quinn are talking, and Quinn says something, and Jimmy's like, "You can't say that in front of them." He's like, "Of course I can. They can't hear us because they're talking about wedding stuff."
And they just start randomly saying stuff.
Horrible things, yes.
And the women just keep right on.
Yeah. And Gretchen's very excited to have couples friends, but not really. But it's like,
this is too real, too fast for her.
Yes, yes. Because she goes into the house and she tries to be Gretchen, which is like steal from them or this or that or whatever. And then the woman comes over because they do solo couples friends night. Mm-hmm. And basically it's like, look, when you're my friend, when I just choose to have let you in my life and my friend, you're in.
Yeah.
Full bore. You know, and then she actually gets Gretchen to release all the pent up frustration and anger. And
oh yeah, she breaks down hard.
Yeah, and gets her to break down. But at the same time, she tells him how Jimmy suck a dick, and she tells him about how he got the head from the floors, and she tells him about how she made Jimmy taste his own semen, and he did it twice, and he liked it. And Quinn's like, "Well, you did it as a joke the second time, right?" He's like, "Exactly," but she didn't get that. You know, like.
I also love that. Thanks to Quinn,
yeah,
we got the drone back. Like, it was yes. so brief, but he's yes. like, I wish they had, like, a come home button. And he's like, they do. It's right there.
See? Beep. Ah. And then there's a scene where you just see the drone lower down behind them. Yeah.
So it was almost a throwaway thing, but it was still great that they went back to it.
Quinn basically hooks up Jimmy on, like, Grindr to meet a guy so he can suck a guy's dick.
He wants to help him. He's, like, genuinely interested in this. He's like, I want to help you as a guy. And if she wants you to suck a dick, this is how we're going to go about it.
Yeah. So Jimmy goes and meets this guy, and then it doesn't work out. And then he gets in the car. He's like, yeah, he invited me to leave. And he's like, oh, he gave you a negative review. Oh, you know, he's already blocked you. And Jimmy's pissed.
Dude, that was such a great thing because Jimmy goes in there. The guy's like kind of sprawled on his couch, just sitting there. And Jimmy's like, so blah, blah, trying to be intellectual. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you could just stop talking now.
Yeah.
How about take off your shirt? Jimmy's like, okay. Throws the shirt down. And then later on, he's like, where's your shirt? Oh, crap.
So it leads to one of the greatest scenes, not in television, but it's a pretty amazing scene where Jimmy and Quinn are sitting there talking. And Jimmy basically says, or Quinn says, like, well, you need to suck some guy's dick that you know you're comfortable with because it won't be so bad. Mm-hmm. And then Jimmy goes, really? Yeah. And then we have this scene where they just look at each other with just head nods and facial expressions. It's decided that Jimmy's going to suck Quinn's dick.
It was beautiful.
It really was. It worked out exceptionally well.
It was like the puzzled look. Yeah. And I mean, it was. You got to see this scene. And they just speak volumes with their faces.
And Jimmy's slowly leaning towards him. And Quinn, like, and finally looks up one last time. And Quinn goes, all right, yeah, just do it.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's head disappears. And then when Gretchen gets home, she tells her what he did. And she's like, at first it seems like, oh, my God, Jimmy, are you serious? Blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, and then.
It was like seeing a 16-year-old get a car for their birthday.
Yes.
Like, she was just, oh, my God, did you seriously do that? Oh,
my God. You shot that tech for me. You did that for me, you know. And then, like, you know, Quinn's wife is, oh, she thought it was funny, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they go to have another date and.
Gretchen's anxiety takes over, and she's looking around and hearing all the, this is forever, we're friends forever, the rest of our lives, and it becomes too real for her, so she completely melts down.
And she basically pretends to not know what Jimmy did with Quinn.
Oh my God, you sucked a person's dick? Yeah. Why would you do that? What is wrong with you? And
then Quinn and his wife are angry, like, why didn't you tell her? What, did you lie to us about this?
Right. So they take off.
They leave, and then as soon as they leave, Gretchen's like, oh, that was just getting too real for me. That wouldn't have worked out. Come on, let's go have sex.
Yeah. And Jimmy's like, he's like stunned at first, but then he's like, okay, yeah.
It was a very funny episode.
It was, and very real.
Because
she wasn't doing it because they were bad people. She wasn't doing it because she didn't want to be friends with them. It was legitimate, her anxiety and fear of permanence. You know, that's what both of them have, is such a fear of permanence, of like, this is going to be the way it is forever. And they balk at that, and they run at that. And she really expressed that in this one. And you could see, like, they're panning around the room, and everything was kind of distorted, and she was hearing the voices distorted, and it just, like, freaked her right out. You felt it. So then we have the next episode.
Yes, I guess I must have watched them out of order.
Oh, okay.
When I watched them. The next episode, Becca and Vernon go to Paul's friend's mansion to watch the lunar eclipse with Paul.
Now, they've had a kind of thing going on this season in the background where they've been trying.
Becca has agreed to be Paul's surrogate to have a child.
But in the dumbest way possible.
Yeah, well, he's stupid, and he's got really a lot of money. So basically he shows up at their place or what's her face?
Lindsay's place.
Lindsay's place. Rubs one out into a cup, gives it to them, and then they pretend to, take a turkey baster and inseminate Becca, but instead they just dump it outside the window.
And as I said later, the tree outside is
grown at least a foot.
Yeah,
but they're doing it for money because did Vernon lose his license?
Oh yes,
yeah.
Vernon is completely broken, yeah. Lost his license.
Right. So in this episode, it all kind of comes to a head because Paul basically says. Because, at first Vernon Becker joked, like, he's probably going to want to try to, be there for the insemination when the moon lines up and yada, yada, yada. And then actually Paul tells them, hey, let's pump the brakes on this. Mm-hmm. We'll try another time. And now they're like, shit, where's that money? We need that money.
Right.
It's our only money. So they're like, no, let's do it when the moon lines up. And eventually Paul reveals that he's lined up a surrogate.
Mm-hmm. Someone 24-year-old doctorate thesis girl. And Yeah, somebody who's really going to be great, and they kind of go through their own little crisis there with kids being around, and Jesus, I want the version of Operation that kid was playing.
Yeah.
It was like a 3D model of a person, and it was basically Operation, but it was way cooler.
Yes,
I want that to exist. I wish it did exist. Maybe it does. I don't know. But, yeah, Vernon kind of gets drunk and plays against that girl because he's a surgeon. He could do it. He fights her. I thought she was going to lose an eye because she had those little tweezers, and wrestling them from him. And I thought that he was going to, let go and she was going to stab herself in the eye. But, yeah, then he tries to kill himself.
Yeah, he legit tries to drown himself, and Paul saves him.
Has a giant rock on a rope and throws it in, but then at the last minute says, I don't want to die. So he's, laying on the edge there holding the rope, trying to pull the rock back up, and Paul saves him. And
then they basically – they have a good sharing of feelings.
Yeah.
And then Paul kind of walks in on them about to have sex.
And they invite him, and they recreate a scene right out of The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yes. That's exactly how sex was done for pregnancy in The Handmaid's Tale. The husband would the handmaid would sit there, the wife would sit behind.
Yeah.
And so that it was like... he was penetrating the wife.
It was Vernon jerking off. That's how I was, yeah.
Yeah, no.
That sounded like, that's from The Handmaid?
That was the different part.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually the wife would sit back there and hold the handmaid, and the husband would plow her, but it was like symbolic that the wife was right there, so it was like he was looking the wife in the eyes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Paul went to town on Becca, and Vernon just jerked it right there. Oh, this is happening!
Yeah. Now Paul
came at the same time.
Paul shagged both the sisters.
Wow.
And then at the end of the episode, they're all having breakfast together, mm-hmm. and Jimmy and Gretchen walk in on them, and then they get, whatever reason, they're mad that they're at our diner spot, so they leave, and then underneath the table, they're all holding hands.
Yeah, like this is going to be some kind of a relationship thing. I did love Gretchen's line, though. She walks in, she's looking, they're like, oh, did you know there was a clip last night? What kind of a loser would, go out of their way to... big time for a lunar eclipse, blah, 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 blah. And she looks up, she goes, oh my God, I spoke about it and I summoned them.
We also got a flash forward in one of the episodes, I think the Zero Eggplants episode, where it's
Zero Eggplants.
It's Gretchen and taking a swim, and then she's with Lindsay at the poolside, and they're like, well, are you okay with him going to be there? She's like, yeah, I'm not even mad anymore. So... I'm curious where that is. For whatever reason, I want the two of them to end up together.
I know. I do, too. Even though, literally, if you really look at it, these are awful people.
Oh, they are the worst.
I would never be friends with these people. I like watching them on TV, and I can find some of their stuff relatable. But if they were in real life, I would steer clear of them completely. We would never hang in the same social circles.
Yeah, no, probably not. Let's talk about them CW shows, shall we?
Go for it.
So, Supergirl. I know we kind of touched base early. Well, a little bit, sadly.
Mm.
So, the most recent episode we had, which was...
Dreamer suiting up.
Menagerie. Let's see here. Basically, Lockwood gets out of jail. Maybe that might have been the previous episode. I don't know. But no. That's the most recent one. Yeah. Lockwood gets out of jail. This is my big takeaway from it, okay? Lockwood is released from jail because it's deemed that aliens are not humans, so they're not people. So he couldn't have created a terrorist threat against people.
Right. It's the most convoluted logic. Yeah. But Unfortunately, it's also completely believable today.
Okay, think about back in the 60s, and I want to think it was like Alabama or whatever it is. Like, if you even had like a tenth, if they could prove that you had any black blood in you at all, even if you were white and you married a white woman, it was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a real thing.
Yeah.
Which is absurd.
Oh, think about even just before that, before there were any kind of civil rights.
Yeah.
You know, the Rosa Parks on...
Yeah, the body, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing where you couldn't be found guilty of a crime against a black person because they're not really people.
They're not people, yeah. Yeah, sad state of our... Anyways.
I was sitting on that.
Yeah.
So he's now a face again.
Yeah,
they gave him a couple episodes off to relax.
His son is basically was leading the Children of Liberty and
of course,
doing father proud. And,
yes, because it's generational, that kind of stuff,
yeah.
You know?
Hate
is generational.
Otherwise, this episode wasn't all that great for me. They have a symbiote, snake-like symbiote from space that infests a girl. It's the Children of Liberty kill the symbiote at the end by cutting its head off.
Mm.
Apparently doesn't kill the host, though, just the symbiote. And you know, Supergirl's like, you know, it's down. We can help it. We can detain it. No, we're just going to kill it. Like, you know, it's the Supergirl. You know, shouldn't kill things just to kill things.
Right.
But, I don't know, it wasn't a great episode. I'm surprised that Alex still doesn't have her memory back yet.
Yeah, they seem to drag that on a little bit longer than I expected.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. You know, we got a couple episodes coming up here, which the episodes are interestingly titled. There's What's So Funny About Truth, Justice, and the American Way. Stand and Deliver, which was a movie with Edward James Olmos.
Mm.
And then Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Hmm.
So, anywho, Flash? Did you watch some Flash?
I did. I love me some Flash.
Actually, I do love Flash. I think Flash is a great show. Who was it that just told me recently they were rating something above? I think they liked Arrow. Rude. He liked Arrow better than Supergirl, and I couldn't agree with that.
There's a lot of stuff that I can't agree with.
Yeah. So Flash.
The Flash.
That's pretty good.
Which one are you talking about?
Do we have two episodes to talk about?
Well, I can't remember how far behind you were.
I didn't think we did. Because, no, you know what? The last one I remember watching was the...
I don't think you had watched the Groundhog Day episode.
Was that Goldfaced?
Goldface you hadn't watched, and then the Groundhog Day episode was the one after that.
Okay, I think I watched Goldface.
Okay. Did you watch Groundhog Day episode where she kept going back an hour to try to save them from
Sarita? Yes, Cause and Excess.
Yes, that's the one.
I thought that was decent.
Yep.
It was... I liked how they put the plan in together at the end, where they all work together and everything. But, of course, as soon as Cicada stabbed, they all just stopped. Like, oh, we did it. I stopped everyone from dying, and Cicada's been stabbed with his own knife? Yes.
Yeah.
Now let's just wait for him to disappear as opposed to, like, continuing a plan to stop him.
Right. Instead of pummeling him while he's down or putting some binder cuffs on him or something.
Right. Something
let's
like
just
that.
Stand there and be like, yeah, we did it. Let's all high-five. And, oh, he got away. Which they didn't really high-five, but I know.
You know what? You're right. I did not watch that previous episode with Sherlock and Irene Adler, basically.
Wasn't that awesome? I told you.
I like the fact that all his ex-wives were her. Like,
yes.
He definitely had a thing for her.
Yep.
So.
Which is, again, another really nice nod. You know, in whatever reality, Sherlock ends up
Adler in this episode.
Yep.
And she's a meta.
Somehow. We don't know. Well, I mean, she obviously makes the door open and he's like, you're a meta.
Yeah.
But. We haven't seen her again since then.
Well, they've only had one episode.
Yeah. It was an interesting reason for that. You know, basically, Excess goes into the future, and Thawne's like, you need to distract him.
Yes.
Get him together with this woman. And he knew which woman,
mm-hmm.
which tells me that he also knows a lot about Sherlock.
Yep.
Which I found interesting. Like, he knew that if she got these two together, that it would spark something in him because of his, you know, other ex-wives.
What was interesting about this episode, Cause and Excess, though, is Barry's not in it at all.
Mm.
Except for at the beginning where he runs to go activate the serum. Yeah. And so he goes into the speed force.
Yep.
And, yeah. Then he shows up at the end when everything's all done.
Well, what did I miss? They kind of gave him an episode off as well, which is odd. But that's okay. We can have a show called The Flash without The Flash, I guess.
The next episode, which is on Tuesday, is called King Shark vs. Gorilla Grodd. I'm so excited about this.
I am too. I just really hope that it's not as disappointing as Gorilla City was. Remember when we were all excited about that?
Yes, and that was like bad, wasn't
cheesy
it?
Cheesy CG and, yeah. But yeah, I want to see the two of them go at each other. Just stupid cheesiness. But they're closing in on a way to stop Cicada because they've got this cure that they think if they hit him with it, it will nullify his powers.
Yep.
I guess somebody was talking online about the fact that in one of the most recent episodes of Arrow,
yep,
they call over to Captain Singh of Star City. And they say, hey, we need some help. And he's like, I'm sorry, I can't. A new meta just popped up and put half my police officers down for the count. And they were like, is this going to be a future episode of Flash? Because we haven't seen that happen yet.
No, we haven't.
And it can't be Killer Shark versus Gorilla Grodd because those aren't new metas.
Maybe Cicada shows up because they're there to try to stop both of them because he likes to kill metas. And then
could be.
I guess we'll see.
I wouldn't mind seeing Cicada go toe-to-toe with those two.
See, I haven't been watching Arrow. How was Arrow?
It's not good.
Okay, good.
We're doing more of the flash forwards and finding out more things, like Felicity's daughter is there, and yeah. Cool. Yeah.
I say cool. I don't actually mean that.
No.
I'm just going to go with cool. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I'll tell you, you're missing out if you're not watching Deadly Class. This show has a lot of fucking chutzpah.
No, I haven't. You know what? The other day, I was actually like, fuck, what am I going to watch? And I never even considered it.
It's really good. It's very graphically well done. There are certain parts in the episodes where they actually switch over to cartoon or comic because this was based on a graphic novel.
Right.
And they used the original artwork. And it's great. Like, these characters, they're growing on me more and more every episode.
Mm-hmm.
The main character there is in this academy because he was put away. Well, he was kicked out of his group home because he burned it to the ground and killed a bunch of boys in it. But
that
now
will,
we're
that will cause some issues.
Well, now we're discovering that he didn't do it. There's this other fucking psychopath who was there who did it and is mad that he didn't get credit for it. So he's coming after him, and it's just getting better and better. I really strongly recommend you check it out.
Okay. Yeah, I will.
Also, have you watched any of the Umbrella Academy yet?
All of it.
Excellent. I look forward to talking about that.
Did you watch it all?
I've watched all of it.
Okay, yeah. I like to save that for a little bit.
Yes.
I like to surmise a couple of shows real quick, I guess. The Good Doctor. We got a new chief of surgeon.
Yeah. Direct from Lost.
Yeah, direct from Lost. Wasn't he on Hawaii 5-0 recently?
He was, yeah.
Yeah, but he's got a haircut.
Daniel Kim, yeah.
And the long and the short, we've had a couple of good episodes, but the long and the short of it, he wants, what's his face?
Sean
to become a pathologist, because that way he doesn't have to deal with people.
Yeah.
And everyone sticks up for Sean and goes to the doctor about it. And part of me gets where he's coming from. Like, look, at some point he's not going to be a resident anymore. Then he's going to be responsible for teaching others. Is he going to be able to do that?
Mm-mm.
Probably not.
No.
Someday he's going to have to talk to people. Is he going to be able to do that? Probably not. But yes, you're right. He's a great doctor. He has a brilliant mind. He figures out things that other people can't figure out.
He's Dr. House.
Yeah. I'd like to keep him around, and I think pathology is the best place for him to be, to be kept around.
Yep.
So I get that. And then the other part of me is like, or he doesn't want to deal with Sean.
Right.
He doesn't want to take the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just like, well, if you're over here, I don't have to deal with you. I don't have to take the time.
That's very true as well.
So.
Yeah. If it was me, I'd lean more towards column A. Because honestly, like he says, he makes some amazing discoveries.
Yep.
By looking at reports and stuff like that. I love that his new teammate, if pathology is Asterix from Fringe.
Yep.
And I know it's Astrid, but Asterix was one of the favorite things that he would call her.
We haven't seen her in a while. I haven't watched anything with her in a while.
She popped up on the screen. I'm like, oh yay! But yeah, there were a couple of good episodes. I like this twist though because it does mix things up, and it's not just an easy solution. It's not just like we're going to promote him. The end.
Right. Yeah. So, but I haven't been hating it.
Good.
Like, I'm sure you haven't either.
No, not at all.
New Amsterdam, kind of the same thing. You know, the episode they had recently with the drug baby.
Mm.
So I watched that back to back with the episode about the baby that they thought was just going to die. And then Sean came up with the, you know, thought of a way they could try to save the baby and did. Like, with all the baby, I was like, ugh, baby heavy stuff. I don't know. Kid stuff still affects me.
Yeah.
Affects me at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why. So I was like, I remember making it like, a drug baby's found between this baby and the baby on the Good Doctor watching these back to back. It was kind of emotional.
Yeah.
A little much.
Yeah.
But you know, New Amsterdam again, like I remember my wife, she saw a commercial for it the other day. We were watching something else and she's like, wait a second, they're going to kill the main character in the first season of the show. I go, no. She's like, well, then this is all stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kinda.
Yeah. It's not Game of Thrones.
That's exactly what I told her. I go, this isn't Game of Thrones. Like, yeah.
He's not Sean Bean.
Yeah, they can kill, you know, Ned Stark, but there's still all these other characters and families and storylines and everything going on. Literally, without him on New Amsterdam, without Tom Keen, there is no show.
Right.
Yeah, there's a bunch of supporting characters, but they are legit just supporting characters.
Yeah, he's the one that keeps it running the way that it is and keeps them doing the weird things that they do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, without him, it would go to some stuffy suit, and they'd be like, we're going to put this back to being a normal profiting hospital. And the end. Show's over.
Now, the, I don't know if it's interesting or whatever, but, like, the head of the hospital, whatever, the guy that hired him,
mm-hmm.
he got voted out.
Yep.
And they faked a heart attack angle. He got voted out, and so now I'm wondering if the new person that comes in that takes over is going to be, you know, going to cause issues and break things up and stir things up. And, like, you can't be the head of the hospital if you've got cancer. Mm-hmm. Nah, nah, nah. Or if this is a way just to get rid of that aspect of the show and just let him run the hospital.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. Let's see. Blacklist.
Yes.
No new episode this week.
No. Nope.
We had the two episodes the previous week.
Yep, and I messaged you on that just so that you'd make sure to check out both of them.
Yes, and I did.
Marco Jankowicz and Minister D. Sounds like a nice rap duo, doesn't it?
It actually really does. So what'd you think?
I really am enjoying the show this season. Remember how last season it was kind of getting kind of shitty?
Yeah.
And we were getting annoyed with it? I'm really enjoying the courtroom stuff that's going on.
I'm very surprised, yeah.
Surprised that I'm enjoying it or surprised how much you're enjoying it?
Surprised how much I'm enjoying it.
The courtroom stuff has been very refreshing because you've got Red who is defending himself.
Yep.
And he's doing a pretty darn good job, honestly.
Well, so the first one, the Marco Jankowicz episode, this is the drug lord that's got people cuts women open and puts a fake bladder or mm-hmm. whatever in them to make them look like they're pregnant coming through customs, but they're smuggling drugs.
LSD.
LSD. And his girlfriend is the nurse that used to work for the doctor that changed Red's face.
Which they don't even realize that until they show up to
correct
accost her, and she has armed security
right.
who takes Liz's sister.
And yeah, and they take her, and then
she was taken.
Yeah. So then Liz has to tell someone about it. Who she tell? What's his
Red.
Face? Red.
Well, she tells Dembe.
No. She tells – oh, no. The previous episode is when she told Stabler. Not Stabler.
Wrestler.
Wrestler. So Wrestler already knows. No, yeah. Wrestler already knows. So she tells Dembe about it. And Dembe – we had a good moment where Elizabeth says to Dembe, like, you know all the secrets, don't you? You know all the answers I want. And he goes, yes, I do. And she's like, so are you going to tell him? But you won't tell me. No, I won't share his secrets, just like I won't share yours.
Mm.
And he reveals that he knows that she's the one that turned Red in.
Yeah.
Because he tracks down the girl that made the 911 call. And basically, you know, Elizabeth didn't pay her, but her sister did.
Mm-hmm.
And so she knows that she's the one that turned in Red. And he's not going to tell Red that.
Because we have that whole scene at the end where he goes right to Red. And he's like, she couldn't identify her. It wasn't Elizabeth. It was... somebody, you know, I showed her the pictures, and Red's like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, he's so relieved.
I thought it was Elizabeth. I knew it was her. And, yep. But he also didn't kind of lie. He said, you know, it wasn't Elizabeth, because it wasn't. It was her sister.
But he didn't say who it really was. And so his sister gets kidnapped. She gets beat the shit out of, basically.
Oh, yeah. They did a good job on makeup.
Oh, yeah. Like, she got beat bad.
Yeah.
And she basically has a moment to talk to that nurse, and the nurse tells her that, you know, a woman brought Reddington in. And it was basically Liz's mom bought Reddington in to have the surgery.
Yep.
And arranged it all. And now Liz's sister's like, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. Yeah. This is not what I signed up for, basically. This is not...
Like, let me know if you find anything, but I can't do this anymore.
So she's gone. Yep. Which I don't blame her. After that traumatic experience, that, and she's been questioning Liz's actions and what Liz has done. Because Liz has crossed the line, in her opinion, multiple times over... You know, her, you know, with her stuff and things. And then in prison, Reddington comes between two gangs to curry favor of the warden. And
yeah, and one of them, like, decides to take it upon themselves to kill this guy. And he's like, no, I had that taken
care of. I already arranged, like, this is they, you know, like, and basically he says to the guy, look, you know, he, you know, some guy owed you guys a debt and you chose not to get paid for that debt.
Right.
You chose to kill your own guy instead of collecting the money that was coming to you. Like, that, how stupid is that?
Yep.
So Reddington kills him.
With a meat thermometer.
Yeah.
Like, he just talks to the warden. The warden's like, anything else? He goes, I want a work assignment in the kitchen.
Okay, you
and
got
he
it.
Walks out of there, wiping his hands up, yep. Has a little meat thermometer, walks up, just stabs the guy right in the chest.
Yeah.
And leaves.
Yeah.
Just keeps walking.
Just keeps on walking.
Drop right through the heart.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool.
It was a little cheesy and over the top when Wrestler was taking the stand.
Oh, and Minister D?
Yeah. And, you know, they'd ask him who sold out the country, and he'd be like, Red Reddington.
Raymond Reddington. Yeah, Raymond Reddington.
Like, is that man in the courtroom today?
He kept he wasn't using pronouns of him. Yeah. He was saying Raymond Reddington.
Which he was Raymond basically Reddington tipping that. His hand that I know you're not really Raymond Reddington, and I'm helping Liz find out who you are.
Well, that, but he was also trying to prevent himself from lying. Right. Until basically he had to.
Right.
He had to lie and say, you know, because, but for all they, but you know, with this information, for all we know, he really is Raymond Reddington, and that the bones were somebody else. Or they switched the DNA around, or he did something at one point where, because they matched the DNA to the bones to what? To find out that that was actually Reddington.
The military records, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He couldn't have switched those?
Exactly. I want this mystery to be solved by the end of this season, because I'd like to move past it.
Me too.
I think that they've dragged it on for too many seasons.
They took huge steps, though, in this Minister D, because basically they're trying to track down this guy that bugs everybody's phones and then blackmails them.
Using the old school, like, switchboards and plugs and wires. And
he blackmails people and into paying him money. And then, you know, blackmails the wrong person, basically.
Yep.
And what happens to him? Does he get killed?
You know, I don't remember.
He gets arrested. And Remington basically says to the boss, I can't think of his name, you know, he has a tape that I need, and this is the date of the tape.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, but I'm not going to use it for your court. He goes, no, no, this is going to exonerate me. And basically, Raymond takes the stand, and he makes kind of like to do a narrative that basically he says, look, I fell in love with a woman who turned out to be a Russian spy who set me up to take the fall to make it look like that I sold out the U.S. government and caused all these people to die and committed treason, and I did not do that. And so... And the reason why they set me up is because I uncovered the cabal.
Yep.
And yada, yada, yada. So basically, because of what she did, I was forced into this life to become this person so I could survive and then take my revenge.
Right.
Which I've done. You know? And they find the tape, and on the tape, they play the tape, and it's exactly what happened. Like. Yep. You know, it's
her talking to her handlers and saying, you know, do we really have to do this? And they're like, yes, he will go down for this. You will make sure of it. You are an agent. And she's like, okay.
And they basically, like, they verify the tape that it's Rostova talking. And the person she's talking to is Alan Alda, whatever character he played on the show, but he's dead now.
Right. Part of the cabal.
As part of the cabal, who's also a high-ranking government official and yada, yada. So, I mean, basically, Raymond was proved that, he did not commit treason. And he's rightfully found not guilty. And then, of
for
course,
that one count.
Right, but that's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, now, well, now we're going to try you for all these other things that you did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, great, but I only did them because of this one incident where I was forced to do this.
Right.
Because I was being framed and set up.
Yep.
So it was actually pretty huge.
It was.
Yeah, pretty huge storyline-wise.
I'm glad that they pushed forward with this and that we're getting some answers. And like I said, I really want the mystery of who he is to be wrapped up this season. I'd like to get back to just straight old Blacklist type stuff.
Yeah.
I can have another mystery in the background, but I'm getting tired of this one.
I mean, what is this, the sixth season of the show? Which I can't believe it is already.
Mm.
You know, it surprises me it's the sixth season now that I'm saying that. Because, I mean, we've enjoyed it thoroughly mm-hmm. these last few years. And it's not a show I've ever been like, oh, this sucks. But, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if they do wrap up the season this way. And then next year they get back into just doing Blacklist stuff. I would like that.
Yes.
But what would Raymond still be like? Is Raymond going to clear his name and no longer be a bad guy? Now he's just going to be a good guy? Or is he still going to be the crime boss bad guy he's always been?
Right.
Will the show lose steam if he's not Reddington anymore?
I think he'll still be the crime boss. But I think that what they could do is a twist on the fact that now there are multiple people who know about his connection to this task force.
Yeah.
And so they're going to try to take out the task force, take out the government kind of thing.
Okay.
That's a possibility. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
What about the rookie?
Well, I was going to bring up, we have a couple episodes of the rookie to talk about. Can mm-hmm. we just cover up this yeah. is us real quick?
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't, I don't know. Beth becomes a dance teacher.
Yeah.
We get the whole story about how Beth was going to be a dancer, and her dad got cancer and died, and so she couldn't be a dancer anymore because her mom was very rigid and was like,
dancer and cancer rhyme.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I giggled.
Yeah. But her mom was, you know, Mrs. Huxtable was very rigid. and she
Felicia Rashad.
Yeah, and basically, like, she wanted her daughters to succeed, well, her daughter and her cousin, who's like her daughter.
Right.
And so she was very hard on them, overly hard on them.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as her father died, she was just like, look, you didn't get the solo. You tried your best. This is done. Now let's move on because you need to do this.
It was a Cinderella-ish kind of thing.
Kind of. And so basically it ends with Beth wants to become an instructor at a dance studio.
Those who can't do, teach.
Yes. And that kind of coincides with these flash forward type things, or these future things where we see Beth as a dance teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was nice to see her get her due, though, in an episode. Yeah. You know, we got to focus more on her because
yep.
we get a lot of the Pearsons, but we don't get to see about
no,
the background
this was,
people.
This was a Beth story.
Yep.
This was a Beth and Zoe story, basically. Right. Yeah. But mostly Beth story.
I liked, it's like when we had the Toby episode, you know, where we got to see him as a kid. I
yeah.
like that kind of stuff that fleshes things out. Finding out about Miguel's family beforehand.
Yeah. Right. Kind of like the episode of You're the Worst we just had, which was just Becca, Paul, and Vernon, basically, mm-hmm. centric. Yeah.
Yep.
It's nice when they depart like that.
Yes. I agree completely.
The Rookie. Couple of good episodes.
Yeah.
First one called Caught Stealing.
I was so bummed with this one because they started it off with yeah. Midnight Shift.
Yes.
And she was having a hard time, and I was like, oh, we're going to do a whole episode on that.
Nope.
It wasn't. It was just like the opening bumper.
Yeah. It was, afterwards, like, oh, thank God my Weekend Nights is over.
And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I wanted to see that. You know, the loser cases, the we're out here with minimal staff kind of thing. Yeah. And
but basically, this one, I mean, it wasn't a bad episode, but there wasn't anything earth-shattering about it. And it can legit be summed up with money goes missing in a drug bust. Turns out an undercover cop tipped off the drug lords about it who stole it, and the rookies get blamed.
Yeah.
And then they uncover it.
The end.
The end.
We didn't have a lot of character development. You know, we got to talk to all of them about their plans. Like, they all had moments where they were looking at the money,
yeah.
you know, and they're like, what would you do with this? What would you? I don't even want to think about that because that would be stealing. Well, no, we're just saying if you had this kind of money, what would
right.
you do?
Oh. It was almost like a Monster of the Week episode, like with the X-Files,
yeah.
where it's not part of the continuing storyline. It's just,
yeah,
this happened this episode.
we got to see that, you know, in the end, it was one of the undercover cops.
Yep.
That was kind of a cool reveal with the captain going in there and being
yep.
like, hey, one message went out from your phone to this drug dealer.
Yep.
Enjoy that pudding.
Yeah. And then the next episode, Plain Clothes Day.
I liked this episode a lot. This was great.
Because basically the training officers, TOs, yeah. At first I thought it was going to be Plain Clothes Day was going to be about the rookies doing plain clothes stuff that day for the day as part of like training. But no, they're training officers in plain clothes and they're not wearing vests, which is horseshit. They'd be wearing vests.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay? Anyways, they're in plain clothes and they just are kind of like a ghost in the car.
Yep.
They're in the car. They're there if needed, but really not.
But no, they're very adamant. They're like, we will not help you. We are not here. We will not react to anything.
Exactly. And that's shown when
there were a lot of good ones in this.
Yeah, they were. But it's shown when, what's his face? Nolan arrests a guy and turns to his TO and says, watch him, to chase down another guy. And then when he comes back with him, the guy's gone.
He's like, where is he? Who? The guy that I told you to watch. I'm not here to watch anybody.
Yeah.
And then she tells him,
wait for backup.
Like, she's like, he's like, I arrested him. Yeah. She's like, but you should have secured him to something that doesn't move.
Yeah.
Well, what are we going to do? She's like, well, the sound of your baton hitting him in the knee, I don't think he got very far. Let's look for a guy with a limp.
And they go to, and the guy's limping with his handcuffs on still, so Nolan catches him. You know, Nolan wants to do a warrant. Like, he wants to prove himself, so he's very gung-ho about it.
He's got dreams of being a detective someday. Yeah. And
so he's running plates to try and find, like, a felony warrant. And she's like, perhaps you could just police your community. Mm-hmm. And then he finds a guy with a warrant off a plate, which I know officers that do the same exact thing. They get all gung-ho and go in there and, well, no, I bought that car a few days ago from a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so he doesn't actually own it anymore, you know? But he does this elaborate, you know, textbook entry thing. And you see the others be like, do we have to listen to this guy? Hey, yeah, it's his day.
It's like I've drawn a detailed map of the hotel room. So we have, and the guy goes, four walls and a toilet.
Yeah.
Like every hotel room. Do we seriously have to take your boots orders?
And, yeah. So, they make entry and it's not.
Wake up a baby.
Yeah, wake up a baby. So she's.
That's a good swaddling method.
Yeah, so she goes, here. You put her back to sleep, and then comes out and is like, and I got the address of the guy that, you know, where it was. Mm-hmm. And then a woman comes out to him and says, hey, like, if you use a credit card or something like that, how soon can someone find out where you used it? Or
how quickly does it show up on your financial?
Yeah, so you can find out where you used it. And he's like, if this is a fraud thing, you need to call this non-emergency number, which if I don't keep going, I'll be the one answering it, blah, blah, blah. In my mind, I went straight up like, no, he just fucked up.
Yeah.
Because she clearly.
He done fucked up, Aaron.
Yeah, because he clearly. She is clearly on the run from some guy and doesn't want him to know where she is.
Yeah. He should have at least asked some exploratory questions like, did somebody steal your credit card? Well, no. Yeah. I'm using the credit card and I don't want somebody to see it. Just, red flag.
He just dismisses her and moves on.
Yep.
Yeah. Which, I've seen that too.
I did as well in my short time.
Yeah. So, that comes back to kind of by then they ask later on when they get a report of like a domestic at that hotel, in this hotel room, which is not the, you know, it's the woman that he talked to, and they go and the place is wrecked and she's gone.
And it turns out that when they run her identity, they find out that she's dating a guy who's a long haul trucker who has a history of domestic violence.
Yeah.
And
so basically Nolan, they're looking for the truck. Nolan finds it. He calls for backup. Backup's far away. They can hear her screaming. And that's when, was it Talia? Whatever. She's like, no, no, I'm here now.
Yeah.
Like, we can't wait for backup on this. And she pulls her gun out. So they get into the back of the truck, and he's set up a little torture cell down at the other end.
Yeah.
And he basically is like, both of you back out of there, and I'll be out in a minute.
Yeah.
I'll come on, turn myself out in a minute after you leave. Like, we can't leave. So she goes and pulls the truck forward, which knocks him down. And then
Nolan
gets in there and gets the arrest and arrests him and everything. So that's Nolan's day, essentially. Chen's day, a little rough.
It's always rough with Bradford.
Yeah, but he teaches the best lessons.
He really does.
Yeah.
It's the tough love, but it's the good love.
Yeah.
And kind of like with Nolan, when he said, watch this guy, I immediately went, oh, that's not going to work out. She's not going to watch that guy.
Yeah.
Remember, she's not here. I did the same thing with Chen. So Chen's driving down the street. First off, they go to get their gear and stuff, and they get two sets of gear.
Yeah.
And Bradford's like, why are you getting two sets of gear? I'm not here today. And then the
West is like, oh, you have to bring it just in case they're called to the service.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically, Chen's driving down the street, and she sees a guy dressed like he's from the power company, and he's videotaping an upper story window of a house, like leaning on a transformer.
Also, Bradford has had 11 rookies wash out on plainclothes day.
Yeah, he's hoping to make it a dozen.
He's like, oh, you're going to be number 12. So he kind of rattles her right from the beginning.
Dude, not only that, but he hands her an envelope, and she goes, what's this? And he goes, it's your evaluation. She goes, we haven't even taken the car out of the garage yet. And he goes, I already wrote it.
Yeah.
Don't open it until the end of your shift. And then, of course, later on, after her first problem, she opens it up, and it says, I said not until the end of your shift. He goes, see, I knew everything you were going to do, rookie.
But she arrests the guy from the power company for peeping Tom on that girl.
And stupidly,
yeah.
Again, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, what is she thinking?
Like, how did he get there?
Right. Because Bradford's like, okay, so you missed something. She's like, what did I miss? And he's like, she's like, I got all of his property. I got his cell phone. I got his keys. I got his wallet. No,
he didn't never say, you missed something. He goes, so did you forget anything?
Right.
Which immediately
makes he just gave her the look. Yeah. And she's like, you're giving me that look. He's like, I'm not here today, boo. What look is that?
And she runs through everything. Nope, I did it. I got this down packed. And they drive away. And I'm going, I guess they're just going to leave his car on the street.
Right?
Because in my mind, I'm like, the van's not marked. But again, I guess I have almost 20 years of law enforcement experience.
Well, not only that, but Bradford was literally leaning against it.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, Chen giving her the look.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? Let's go. Come on, we got the guy. Let's take him downtown.
And so they arrest him. And so Bradford goes, so just real quick, Where do you think like, you know, like pedophiles like that keep, like, he basically is like, no, you arrested one pedophile. Like, where does he keep his stuff?
They keep networks together.
Yes, exactly. Of,
like, websites and pictures and stuff so that they can share with each other and perpetuate it. Where do you think he keeps that? And she's like, in his van, because he wouldn't keep it in his house with a parole officer coming to visit.
Right,
because
he's on parole, so he's not going to keep it in his house. So where do you think he's going to keep it? On his vehicle? Sure. And how do you think he got to that street he was on?
Well, at first he said that, and she's like, don't worry, I took his keys. He's not going anywhere. Where do you think he keeps stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. She looks at his phone, and he sent a text message that said, cops got me. Go get my van.
Right. And so she freaks out, and then she speeds down there, you know, like, blah, 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 looks all around, looks around, and then she calls in this van. She goes, yeah, we impounded one there about an hour ago.
Because Bradford wants to teach her the lesson, but he's also not going to let that kind of evidence get away.
Exactly. And I'm just like, so in my brain, I'm just like, eh, he really is a great FTO. Like, he is tough, he's hard, but he's, in my opinion, of the three, I feel like he's the best teacher of the three.
Yes. He's the biggest asshole, but he's also the best
teacher. He's the best teacher.
And she asks him, she's like, so you let me race all the way down here knowing you had already had it impounded? He goes, I wanted the lesson to sink in. I wanted you to be afraid because you had screwed up.
And not for nothing, but like when I'm training someone at work, which I don't want to train people anymore, but I'm just,
I don't blame you.
When I'm training people though, I don't like, so like, like how do I do this file two again? I don't know. How do you do it? I've showed you how to do it more than once.
You've been to class for it.
Yeah. I've showed you how to do it. How do you do it? It's like, you need to stop leaning on me as a crutch. Just do it. Fill it out, but don't send it. I'm not going to, like, and this basically like, you're doing the work. I'm not going to let you hurt anyone or let anything go wrong. I will step in when needed, but like, you just need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically I kind of do the same thing. I pretend I'm not there. And then, but like, you fill it out and I'll, you know, I basically make people think for themselves.
Yep.
You know, it's like, I don't expect you to have everything memorized and how to do everything, but I expect you to know where to find the answer.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and that's kind of what Bradford does. Like, he's like, I think he's the best teacher of the three. And I realize we're talking about a fictional show, but I think he's the best teacher.
Their characters are very believable.
Yes, they are.
I really enjoy the characters. And we've said that many times before. So, yeah, Chen has a rough day.
She does. But at the end of the day, everything goes correctly, if you will. And Bradford has to rewrite. He goes, like, great, now I have to rewrite this evaluation.
Because his evaluation basically said she will second-guess everything that she did.
Yeah.
And
oh, God, we forgot the most important part of her day. Right, because, all right, so they go to a noise complaint.
Mm.
And this guy's basically a dick. And he implies something about taking care of a bitch, which he's because his dog's barking. And the neighbor complained about the dog barking.
Sand on the dog.
Yeah. And so basically she's like, if you stop kicking sand on that dog and then...
And he's like, it's my dog. I can do what I want.
And basically she says, if I have to come back here again or I hear anything about you, you know, hurting this dog, you know, I'm going to make you my project.
Yeah. my personal project. Yeah. And she threatens him, basically.
Basically, yeah. And they leave. And she's like, see, I handled that well. And then he files a complaint against her.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's.
But he doesn't just file a complaint. Like, he wants to go all the way up.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to.
Like, he's one of those people.
Yeah.
So Bradford goes back to try to take care of it. Just be like, look, you know, I'm sorry this happened. He's trying to be diplomatic. I'm sorry it happened. Yada, yada, yada. And basically, he's like, got to complain against Bradford now.
Yeah. He's like, he wants to talk to the watch commander while Bradford's standing there. He's like, let me speak to the watch commander. What are you doing? I'm going to file a complaint about you. This is harassment.
Yeah. So he goes to leave, but then she sees something that looks like blood coming out of the garage.
And the dog's going nuts and scratching at the
door. Yeah. And so she's like, I got to go check this out. And Bradford's like, are you sure?
She's like, that gives me probable cause, right? He goes, it's your call today.
Yeah, dude. But are you sure? I mean, he's already filed a complaint against you. He's filing one against me. Yada.
He basically tells her the smart move would be to walk away.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
So she goes and looks anyways and finds the neighbor dead in the garage, stabbed in the throat with the shears she was using trimming her hedges.
And the guy comes out, he's like, hey, don't go in there. It was an accident. You know, yeah. She wouldn't stop yelling and she wouldn't stop talking. And
so they arrest him.
Yeah.
And that's when he has to rewrite her evaluation for the day.
Yeah.
Because when it mattered, she didn't guess herself. She stuck to her guns and did it.
Yeah.
And then Westay is a little on the opposite side. He basically, all he wants to do is go break his father's records.
Yeah.
Of getting the most arrests and this and that and everything. However, the car doesn't start. It takes him an hour and a half to fix the car, change the battery. Yeah, 2 hours. And then one of the detectives walks up and goes, here, boot, you're going to file all my criminal stuff. Which, that's horseshit. Because first of all, if you're working a homicide case and you need your evidence log, you're not going to give it to a rookie to do. Because if he messes up, he's blowing your case.
She even says that.
Yeah.
His TO even says that. You know, if you don't do this right, then, you know, so-and-so is going to walk clean.
Yeah. So he has to. So it takes him half a day to finish cataloging all the stuff.
And he complains the whole time.
Yeah. So then he goes to leave, and then, like, the wife of the victim of the homicide person that he just killed, she's like, you know, like, the watch desk lady comes out and is like, you need to come talk to her. Well, no, it's not my case. That's a detective's case. All I did was catalog the evidence. Doesn't matter. So she goes on and talks to him. Basically, she's like, I need something from him back because you took everything that was his and I miss him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, sorry, lady.
Yeah, we processed it. It's all considered evidence. And by the book, by the book, by the book.
And then he ends up going through it and finds something that she can give back to him.
Yeah, it's an old watch.
It's an old watch. It's sorry, but it appears to be broken. She's like, it's not broken. There's this whole awesome backstory about how they were poor. She brought the watch for him. And then later on in life, when they had money, she'd buy him more watches, but he still wore this one, even though it was you'd have to tap it to make sure it runs and this and that. And he literally does nothing on plainclothes day. He gets no arrests. He doesn't even basically make it out into the field.
Yep. But he still says that it was a good day.
Yes.
Because he got to help somebody and he got to feel important.
So it was a great episode.
Oh, it was. This show, another one that I'm so glad I stuck with.
Yeah, me too.
You know?
I thought it was Fillion, though.
I know, but I thought it was going to be a throwaway kind of thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be, like, too much humor or too stupid, and it's really good. I loved at the end, too. You know, the rookies are all, like, talking about their days, and Chen goes up to Bradford, and she's like, here, I wrote a review of you. And he's like, that's not protocol. And she's like, well, take a look at it, or don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And she goes over, and she's like, we got to go now. She stuck him with a bar tab.
Yeah.
He opens it up, and it's receipt, and he goes, it's their freaking bar tab. What the hell?
And basically, he's like, good one.
Yep.
Yeah. No, it was a good episode. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Did you happen to watch the most recent Big Bang Theory, which was the D&D episode?
Oh, no, I heard about it. I haven't watched it. I plan on watching it.
It was mediocre at best.
Yeah.
It was, you know, the guest stars that they had were barely in it. It was mostly about the neuroticism of the guys and like, we want to be invited to Will Wheaton's D&D game because it has all these celebrities and blah, blah, blah. And Will's just like, no, this is why I didn't invite you, because you guys like fan out and you make it way out of proportion and just get lost. Plus, he really doesn't want Sheldon. Although it had one of the greatest lines, one of the greatest lessons. Because, of course, Will Wheaton is now Professor Proton.
Yes.
So he invited Sheldon and Amy because they're up for a Nobel Prize for the research that they just did. So he brought them on the show, and then he arranged to have William Shatner as a guest. So you hear the door knock, and Will Wheaton goes, I wonder who that is. Sheldon, why don't you get the door? And he goes, no. He goes, why not? And he goes, because I don't know who it is. And he's like, well, you should just go open it and see who it is. He goes, oh, that's a really good lesson to give kids. Tell them to just go open the door for anybody who knocks and let strangers into their house. What is wrong with you, Will Wheaton? And it's true.
Yeah, no, it is true. So I did hear, like, you know, like Sheldon wanted wanted to call William Shatner captain, and he wanted him to refer to him as, like, something engineer.
Science officer.
Yeah, Cooper, blah, blah, blah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't miss much.
Project Blue Book. My wife and I watched the most recent two episodes.
I think I'm still one or two behind.
Okay, The Scoutmaster and War Games.
I have not watched those.
They were both great.
The last one that I watched was The Foo Fighters, which was pretty good.
That was good. Yeah. I enjoy the show.
Yes.
I like it because we watch together,
mm-hmm.
and that's always nice. But yeah, it was a good episode. Good episodes. We'll wait and talk about it after you've watched them.
Okay.
I mean, I know we're an hour and 16 minutes into this, but we still have a lot to talk about.
We do.
This episode. Let me think. I know we have to talk about Umbrella Academy, but what was else? The Orville. Oh, my God.
We've got both of those.
Do we have three episodes of The Orville to watch?
I don't think so. Because last time I was over here, you said, I'm not watching The Orville until I have both episodes.
Okay, so we talked about the episode where
the engineer, yes.
Ornis's former boyfriend. Okay, yes. So we have just Identity parts 1 and 2.
Yes.
Okay, so first of all, excuse me, and what happens is Isaac gets deactivated,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know that. Oh, I'm sorry, Gassy.
Yeah, he just suddenly shuts down. Like, he's in the middle of playing with the boys, playing a game that, again, I wish I could play that game. It looks really cool. 3D virtual chess type thing or lineup.
Oh.
Candy Crush type of thing.
Him and the doctor basically say, hey, Isaac and I are seeing each other. And the boys are happy about it. And they're excited. And they're accepting of it. And they're excited. They love Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the youngest. They love Isaac.
Yep.
And he gets deactivated. And so they go to
Kylon.
They go to Kylon or Kalon, whatever, to bring Isaac back because he was. And, you know, Kylon's far enough away that there's no communications back with Earth.
And the Admiral, Victor Garber again, even says to them, he's like, we don't know about this. You know, we've got an emissary, but they may kill you on sight.
Right.
So if you really want to take the risk, then.
So. I know you watch this show, mm-hmm. obviously, like I did. They show up on Kylon.
What an odd statement.
I know. But anyways, they show up on Kylon.
Which, by the way, awful lot like Cylon.
Yeah, it is. And you see...
story similar, too.
You see all the other Kylons,
mm-hmm.
and they all have red eyes. And what's your first immediate thought, as I was taught as a child watching cartoons?
Bad guys.
Red means bad.
Yep.
Blue means good.
That's right. Red laser's bad. Blue laser's good.
Yeah. So that means they're all bad guys. Mm-hmm. Immediately, I'm like, these are all bad guys. Thank you, Seth MacFarlane, for making this obvious. Yes.
When you look at the Autobot logo as red and the Decepticon logo as purple, which is blue and red together.
Right. So, but I'm just saying, though, G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Anyhow, basically, the long and the short of it, because I do kind of want to.
You're going to give a long and short, but there's two episodes here and there's a lot to go into.
Right. But the long and the short of it is that the Kylons. Fucking Terminator Judgment Day.
Yes.
Rise of the Machines.
Yep.
They were made by humanoids, if you will.
Which we still don't know what the race was.
But
their creator race was a bipedal humanoid.
Right. Clear. Yeah. And the Kylons basically were made to be servants and slaves, and they felt they were treated poorly, and they weren't allowed to be free. So they committed genocide and murdered, like, 6 billion people.
Yeah. They asked for their freedom, and they were told no.
Yep.
You're not allowed to be free. Again, allegedly. This is according to the ones that are alive, Kylon Prime and all of the other ones. And so, they wiped out their creators.
Yep.
And they consider that type of behavior to be something to be watched for, and they never want to see it happen again. Yep. So when they discover in the history of Earth records that Earthlings have done the same kind of thing.
The book Roots.
Yeah. Which was a little heavy-handed, but it was
big
still.
Big time.
It made sense. So,
but Isaac was created by the Kylons. He was not created by the Kylons creators. The Kylons made Isaac to send him out as an emissary to study people. That was his mission. And
Essentially, feeding back this information.
The reason why he was deactivated is they were hoping they would bring him back because they've decided Earthlings are bad and they need to be stopped.
Yep. Yeah. And they are a very binary race. Yes. So it's a one or a zero, yes or a no. And they looked at it and said, humans have this potential in them.
Yep.
So we need to eradicate all of them.
Yep.
That is the best for the universe. It's not that they want to colonize Earth. It's just literally that they say, nope. They've done this before. They'll do it again. We saw it happen to us, and we don't want it. Now, I will say this for these two episodes. There's a lot of ways that they could have fucked this up.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of ways that they could have made this cheesy.
Yes.
And they could have made it, like, an easy out.
Yeah.
You know, they could have done something like, you know, Isaac convinces all of them that, you know, we should love and work together, and they decide to give it a try or something like that.
Nope. Isaac is just like, oh, okay, this is what's happening.
These are my people. This is what I do.
And he's just so matter-of-factly, like, turns on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And
because he doesn't have emotion. He doesn't have...
And he's like, oh, no, this is what we're doing now. And we find out that, like, they have... Isaac has guns built into his head.
Yeah.
Again, a little bit of, like, the Cylons. A little bit like Cybermen. A little bit like, you know, there's some good, you know, mixture of other sci-fi-related android characters in this.
Yes.
But ultimately... they're stalling at first because it seems like they weren't ready for them to be there yet because they're still getting their fleet together.
Right.
And that's the tip off for, you know, them on the ship is that, you know, don't you think they're stalling? I mean, like, it's a yes or no question. They're binary people. Like, mm-hmm. they shouldn't be stalling like
this. And they see these spheres popping up on one side of the planet, and they can't scan through them, but there's more and more and more of them every day.
And it's the ships.
Every minute.
Yeah, it's the ships. And basically, Ty drew a picture for Isaac
mm-hmm.
of all of them together. And Isaac drops it or leaves it or gets it knocked out. I can't remember.
No, he just drops it in the middle of the hallway.
And Ty finds it. So he goes down to the planet to bring it to Isaac. And he ends up hiding out in one of these chambers. The paper falls. He goes down and he finds one of the subterranean, basically, mass burial grounds.
This was one of the problems that I had. I don't like it when they use kids like this.
Yep.
You know, as the... Oh, he's going to run away because he's mad and he's going to go climb a tree on the holodeck. And then he's going to run away again because, you know, he wants to go see. I want to go see Isaac. And he runs.
Yeah.
And, oh, because he ran away, we happen to discover these mass graves under the ground.
But
that annoys me.
But here's the thing. oh, no, because it was later on when Ty then helps, you know, send the message out.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on. And they find him and they take Ty. And basically they make Isaac come like, you need to kill him.
Yep.
Why? Oh, because we think you're showing weakness or showing some programming issues and you seem to be this child is attached to you and this child needs to die for what it did. So you need to kill this child.
Yep.
He's like, okay. And then, you know, Isaac, don't hurt me. Yep. I love you, blah, blah, blah. So then Isaac turns on his race, turns on his people. And so there is something going on with his programming where he is attached to these. Yes. He is an AI, ultimately.
Right.
And so they, and, but again, Isaac is like, look, we need to shut down. I'm going to send an electric pulse to the ship to deactivate everybody.
And that'll shut me down as well.
It's going to shut me down too. And he's like, well, no, we can't do that too. We got to save you. He's like, no, this is the only choice. You need to go and unlock the cargo hold after. And here's the code. Because basically they want to, they kept everybody alive. Like most everybody alive because, they're threatening to kill everyone unless the captain and his crew basically says, hey, everything's fine. Lower your weapons. We're all good. This is just like, you know,
right.
The peace committee.
Yeah. This is their diplomatic entourage. Lower the shield.
Yeah. Which, for intelligent beings, it's not a very good story.
No, I think they would have left several of their ships, like, behind
one
of Saturn's
moons. Or but they didn't.
So... They really did a good job in this of making it believable life and death.
Yep.
Because there were a lot of people dying when the Cylons came on.
Yeah, and they killed a lot of people. And then when Mercer and everything, when they tried to tip off the other guy with the secret code, they blew that shit up.
13-button salute.
Yep, they blew that ship up. And then they took one of the engineers and jettisoned him into space.
Yep.
And Isaac tried to save him. And that was the catalyst for, like, wait a second, he's attached to these people. Because he's like, oh, he's a smart engineer. We could use him.
And then Prime's like, we're smarter than any of their smart humans.
Exactly, yes.
you're faulty.
Right.
But they not only jettisoned the guy, but then, like, they did the slow motion shot of him, like, frozen and
floating through space.
Yeah. There were real stakes in this. I thought Yoffit was dead at one point.
I did as well.
When he came out of, you know, he jumped into one of them and shorted it out, but then he came out and he was all gray and he just kind of like,
Yeah, I thought he was dead as well.
So the Kylons are piloting the Orville. They've got their entire fleet behind them.
Yep.
Small ships, large ships. And basically, they come up with a plan. They're like, the only way that we can do this is to get backup. And they're like, well, what? We can send a message to the Earth fleet, but you saw what they did to our ship. You know, two of them took out our one ship without even batting an eye. The Earth fleet's going to get annihilated.
Right.
We need more. They're like, well, who? The Mocklins will never get here in time. And they're like, let's do the Krill.
That they're the closest people that can help them. Of course, the Krill don't like them.
No, they're enemies.
Yeah, but Kelly and Gordon.
The enemy of my enemy.
Yep. They get on the escape pod. They manage to get out and barely and take off. And because, like, the Orville, and they're moving in warp speed or whatever it is. They have another term.
Quantum drive.
So when they get out, they're able to kind of disappear. And they find the Krill, and the Krill is basically, we don't believe you. We're going to get all your information from you and kill you.
Yep.
And then they show up. The Kylons show up, and just attack them. And so the Krill destroys them, and it's like, I guess you're telling the truth.
Yep.
You know, and basically the Krill's logic in this is the enemy of my enemy is my...
Yeah, if the Kylons want to eradicate all biological life, and
that's
we are
us.
Biological life,
yep.
We need to do something about this as well.
And so, finally, you know, Mercer and company have their ship back. Mm-hmm. They show up, the Earth fleet got the message, and a big space battle erupts.
This was a phenomenal space
battle. This was crazy good space battle.
Like you were saying earlier, the special effects on this versus, like...
Like, I'm watching this, Manifest. I'm like, this could literally legit be, like, in a movie. It's crazy.
Yeah. Even to the point where, like, they were piloting through the debris of dead ships.
Yep. Yeah, it was... And ships were blowing up and being destroyed and this and that. And, yes, there's still a little bit of humor throughout these two episodes, but... I mean, really...
like the pea corner. He's like, sorry, I was over in the pea corner. They're like, what? Well, there's nowhere to go to the bathroom down here, so we all kind of agreed to go to that one corner. Trust me, you don't want to go over there unless you absolutely have to.
Yeah, and it's like, we're going to say you on the ship to see the Krill. I want to be in the pea corner so bad right now. But yeah, I mean, they still have humor on it, but I think the show just surprises me. I know we're in the second season of it, but still, like, it's not what I was going to expect it to be, and this show is amazing, and the stories are amazing, and the social, you know, how the social narrative that it takes throughout some of these episodes was amazing. And just when you think Earth is gonna, like, get their fleet wiped out, the Krill show up, and basically the Krill like, stay out of our way.
Yeah.
And the Krill suffer lots of casualties as well.
But the Krill also does what the Union doesn't.
Yeah.
Which is, the Union just has ships. The Krill have ships that carry fighters.
Yes.
So they've got the small, agile fighters that pop out.
Which Gordon pilots in one, which I'm sure we're going to see some now coming, maybe.
It seemed a little over the top, like, that they would accept him enough to let him pilot one of theirs, but okay, maybe.
But they've established he is, like, an idiot savant type pilot with anything.
So the Krill show up, and yeah, like you said, they start getting their butts handed to them as well, but they're doing some ass-handing too.
Yes.
And the Kylons eventually just break away and retreat.
And retreat, which, and basically after the retreat, like, you know, Mercer says to the captain of the Krill ship, like, you know, hey, can we keep this alliance going? Because obviously, you know, they're going to bring reinforcements and come back at us.
We have a common enemy. Let's look for some common ground.
Yeah, which was... It's not what I expected. Like, when we're watching the show, like, we've talked about, like, oh, we've got the Krill. Those are the bad guys. We've talked – you brought up the whole thing. Was it, about the Mocklins.
Mm.
Is this going to be the race that they battle because they're so different, this and that? No, it was the freaking Kylons, like, unexpectedly.
Which are Cylonish.
Yes.
Very much so. Borgish.
Yes.
But without being connected to each other, because you could kill one and they didn't notice it. They weren't always communicating with each other. But yeah, the Krill captain basically says to him, he's like, I can't speak for Avis. Avis put us on the same path today for a reason, but only he knows what's going to come of this. And they take off.
Oh, and that's the other thing too, when they brought up the Avis thing, like, and Gordon's like, I knew they were going to bring up Avis.
See, yeah, I told you it was real. But basically the next episode looks like they are dealing with the Krill more, and this is going to be very interesting because it is an evolving world. And well, if they can say, you know, we need to work together at least to this end, at least to stop the Kylons from eradicating.
Because that's the other thing. Like, they didn't eradicate the Kylons. They definitely put some hurt on them, but they retreated. So that's still a threat.
And the Admiral was like, we have a couple different options for Isaac. Either we can keep him deactivated, or we can download everything that he knows about the Kylons and try to come up with some defenses.
Or we can reactivate him and basically hold him captive and blah, blah, blah. And Mercer's like, no, that's what caused his race to turn on their creators, because they did exactly that, because they didn't give them the freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. And Yotha basically thinks that he can reactivate Isaac because he was inside the other one and deactivated, and he knows where not to go.
But the crew's kind of split on it.
Yeah.
You know, Helmsman and Bordas are like, no, this guy turned on us.
Yes.
He saved us. Well, the only reason he had to save us was because he turned on us in the first place.
Yeah.
And some people are like, well, we should give him another chance. And so even the Doctor's like, you know, forgiveness has to come from a starting point, but that's all it is right now, is a starting point.
And the other thing too is, like, she's so accepting of the fact, like, when he turns on them and when he decides to leave the ship, before he turns on them and he decides to leave the ship, she's like, look, I'm pissed off at you right now, but I understand, like, you don't think the way to do, you don't react the way to, you don't feel the way we do. So, you know, I understand. But then later on, she's like, well, you're going to kill Ty if he's looking at you, telling me that she loves you, you're going to kill him anyways.
Right.
Which he didn't.
Right.
So after Isaac gets activated and Mercer gives, you know, he's going to stay on the ship, which there'll obviously be some issues. But, you know, the Doctor, like you said, comes to him and she's like, basically like, you know, thank you for saving my son. Thank you for saving us. And I'm glad that you're around and you're still with us, but it's going to take time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, these two episodes were amazing.
And now they've got this new enemy and they've got to come up with defenses because, yeah, the Kylons aren't just going to go back and be like, oh, well, that failed. They're going to come back
stronger
and faster and harder.
Fall back and regroup for counterattack.
Now they've seen the Union in action. They've seen the Krill in action.
Yep.
And they're going to start planning ahead. They're going to say, okay, we'll figure out how to counteract
them. Man, that space battle was crazy good.
Crazy awesome.
Yeah. Like, I wonder how long that took to do.
It kept giving me, like, you would think I'd say, oh, it reminded me of Star Wars. But honestly, it really reminded me of the battle at the end of Serenity.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
You know, the same kind of thing with the broken up ships and the debris everywhere and the Reavers and whew.
Now I'm thinking I want Serenity again. Fire what? Fire at everything. Fire at, you know, just, you know, fire. Fire the ship. Fire at everything.
Yep. And, you know, it wasn't just like lasers and torpedoes and stuff like that. You know, there were ships ramming into each other and scraping. And,
yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. This show is just, it's one I really look forward to.
Absolutely. And when I saw that I had the second episode, I'm like, yay!
Yeah. All right, I don't think I have any other shows to talk about. Other than the Umbrella Academy, I don't know how deep of a dive we want to go into that, based on the fact that we are 1 hour and 36 minutes into this episode already.
Damn.
I mean,
I don't know. We could we can save it for the next one. It's not going anywhere. It's a Netflix show. They've already had all the episodes.
Yeah.
Don't know if it's renewed yet. Really hope it is.
I don't want to do a deep dive right now. Let's do it next week, because we may have less to talk about next week.
Right. Because a lot of these shows are ending right now.
Yes.
There are a lot of finales happening.
But
I just watched the finale of The Gifted. A Million Little Things just had its finale. You know, I think a lot of these shows are one or two episodes away.
The Passage, like we talked about earlier, has only got three episodes in the next 2 weeks or week.
So, bottom line, though, did you like it or not?
Oh, it was great.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree.
I will say there was one point where I went, oh, that's how the end of the world's going to happen. And I had three episodes left.
Yeah.
And a part of me
meant to.
And part of me was like, oh, that's too bad. Yep. You know what I mean? But I like how it ended. Yeah. I will say, though, like, watching the first episode, I sat down to watch it. I was tired.
It's a little rough.
I dozed off.
Mm-hmm.
When I woke up, they were doing a dance number. I think We're Alone Now. And I'm just sort of like, what the fuck?
And then it pans out and you see all the different rooms with everyone dancing.
So I rewind it again. I rewind it back because I had fallen asleep for like 20 minutes. So I rewind it all the way back to where I remember last time we were watching it. I'm watching it. I doze off again. I wake up again to the dance number. I'm like, fuck this. I got to go to bed. So I go to bed. And then finally go back to watch it, and the third time through, and I'm like, all right, now it makes sense how they got here. Because, like, it was just, how did they get here? But you're right. There was a couple of things, like, all right, the opening scene with the violin, with the Phantom of the Opera melody. I love Phantom of the Opera. That was amazing. Mm. Absolutely loved that. And then later on, the scene in the donut shop in number 5 with the Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was great.
The bowling alley was Saturday night?
Yes. Yeah.
Holy shit.
It was good. So I definitely
balls being flung through the air.
I definitely like to do a deep dive next week.
Yes, I agree.
It was good stuff.
Oh my ass.
So, did you watch any other shows you want to talk about?
Nope.
Movies?
Not really. Before I came over here, I flicked on the TV to have some background noise, and Limitless was on. I watched that again. I friggin' love that movie.
That's a good movie. That show was great, too.
Yeah. It really... I'm so disappointed that it's gone, because what a great tie-in. It's the first time I've seen that like that, where a movie actually transferred to a TV show and continued the plot. Oh.
My kids were sick, both sick last Monday, home from school.
You have 3 kids.
2 of them, the older ones, who go to school. The other one doesn't. But.
Well, you said they were both sick.
Right, so I know.
Just making sure.
So they wanted to watch a movie, and I was like, I had so much stuff I want to do today, plans I wanted to do today, now it's ruined. And whatever, because I got to be dad at home. So I recommended we watch The Goonies. I haven't watched it in a long time. I don't think either one had ever seen it.
Do you watch the original or the one, the extended cut that has the octopus in it?
The original without the octopus. It was awesome.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. And then we watched Thor Ragnarok.
Thanos.
Yeah. Well, funny that. Then we watched Thor Ragnarok. And that movie is so good.
It really
is.
I'm Korg.
Yeah, yeah.
I start revolutions.
Yeah. But yeah, Thor Ragnarok is so freaking good. Just everything. I love the scene where Banner jumps out of the plane and lands on basically the Rainbow Road, and we think he's dead. I mean, like, the comedy in it is so good, you know, like.
Which is another reason I'm so excited that in a couple of weeks we get What We Do in the Shadows, the TV series.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. But the comedy in that is just so good and just clever and funny stuff. And just, I don't know, all the characters are really great. And just the little things, like when Hulk shows up. And when they're gonna battle in the dome, and then like,
I know him.
Yeah, he's a friend from work. Hey, look.
Hi, friend.
Yeah, no, what's with the frig? Loki, look who it is. And Loki's like, oh my god. Yeah. Yeah, and then when Hulk takes Thor and slams him around like he did Loki, Loki's like, yeah. How's it feel?
You know exactly.
But it was great. And then we end up watching Avengers Infinity War.
Oh, way to end on a downer.
Well, I know, but still. It's great because when you're watching Avengers Infinity War, when they introduce everything, it's like, it's so perfect. They have the awesomeness of introducing these characters, you know, from their movies. It's like when they bring in Guardians of the Galaxy and they're singing the Rubber Man. You know what I mean? Like, you get the feel like you're watching their movie when they are, like, when Doctor Strange is introduced, when Spider-Man shows up, when yada, yada, yada. So that was awesome. So then I had to watch Captain America Winter Soldier for whatever reason.
Kind of going backwards.
I did go backwards, yeah. And then I ended up rewatching Man of Steel at some point. I mean, like, I don't know. I watched a ton of movies.
Okay.
But though I did watch a new movie. I watched Overlord.
Oh, I wanted to see that one.
It's crazy.
Is it? I heard that it was great.
I really liked it. I mean, it's a little weird. They're not zombies.
Well, the thing is, when you first watch the trailer for it, it's a war movie. It's a World War II.
No. It takes place on D-Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're watching the trailer, and you're like, this is just a war movie. And then halfway through the trailer, you go, this ain't no fucking war movie.
No, this legit takes place on D-Day.
This is like Wolfenstein.
Or the eve of D-Day. Yes, it's exactly what it is. Basically, they show up, they're in this French town, they have to knock out a radio, and there's Nazi scientists there, and what we're seeing is the creation, their creations of these science experiments, and it's a good flick. Mm. There's some good character development. I mean, it's great.
I can't wait.
Really enjoyed it. Like,
can't wait, yeah.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it.
Love it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's
I almost got to go see that in the theater, and then I didn't.
Like, I don't think we'll ever see a sequel, if you will, but, I mean, it was cool to see, like, I don't know what it is, but, like, that Nazi steampunk stuff, when you watch it in the movies, it's fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why.
To play it in video games too. Let me tell you.
Yeah, it's really cool, and this is basically what it was. You know, like, you know, soldiers draw. And again, it starts out like a war movie. You think it's a war movie for a really long time, and then legit, like halfway through, it takes a hard left turn. You know,
but a good one.
And you're just like, holy fuck! And Fitz is in it.
Oh, nice.
Right, that's the guy.
Yeah, she's Simmons.
Yeah, okay,
Jenna Simmons.
Yeah, okay, yeah, Fitz is in it. And I didn't recognize him, but he doesn't have his accent. He has an American accent. So I'm like, I know him. Where do I know him? Like, I don't know.
I did that with somebody the other night too. Yeah, I was watching something, and I'm like,
he doesn't sound right though.
Yeah.
So
I can't remember what I was watching, but I did the same thing. I'm like, I know this person. Why do I know this person? And I looked up. Yeah,
great flick.
Oh,
great flick. Yeah,
I'm happy to hear that.
I got a couple little news bits.
Yeah, I got some news and I got some trailers.
Okay, I got to bring this one up. Do you remember the banana splits?
Yes.
Do you know this one? News bit?
Oh, I know this
one. Okay, so the banana splits, the kids happy-go-lucky show from the 1960s, is being remade into a sci-fi original horror flick.
Which I could totally see.
Which kids go to. Basically, it's about kids going to a live banana splits show, and then shit goes downhill.
I think a lot of those shows that we saw as kids, H.R. Puff and stuff, the Banana Splits, Sigmund the Sea Monster, Land of the Lost, could all easily be translated into fucking nightmare fuel.
Well, this is.
I read that, and at first I did a double take, and then I just like shrugged and went,
yeah. That's exactly what I went, oh my God. I'm in dispatch. I'm like, I look around the room, and we've hired so many new people, and they're all young. And I'm like, who the hell in here would have known what the Banana Splits are? Who's the oldest? Oh, Sergeant Trembley's in here. So I run around over to the staff. Did you remember the Banana Splits? Oh, yeah, I watched that stuff. I go, okay, dude, listen to this. They're remaking it into a bubble hoon. He's like, I could see that.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of chuckles. Like, I could see that, yeah. No one else in the room knew what Banana Splits was.
Fucking nightmare fuel on its own.
Oh, yeah.
The flute and the kid's haircut. Gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
Witchy poo. Oh.
Everybody clap your hands. Yo, Gabba Gabba. Yeah, there's another one that's nightmare fuel.
Yes.
Ugh. Everybody clap your hands, except now he's murdering people. And then Chris Hemsworth is going to be playing Hulk Hogan in an upcoming biopic.
I saw that.
I'm like, yep.
Yep. And immediately people were like, we need to get Chris Evans as Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yes, yes. Ooh, yeah, dig it.
I want to see it just to see the two of them on screen like that. I have no idea what the biopic is going to be about. I imagine his time in the WWE. It's probably not going to focus on his racism or...
No, it's supposed to, from what I read, it's supposed to focus on, like, breaking into the business and his rise to the top of the WWE, basically.
Gotcha.
Not
his fall with things
Eric
like
Bischoff, actually.
Mr. Nanny.
No, Eric Bischoff, actually, is one of the executive producers of the flick. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. He was, well, for those who don't know, he actually worked for the NWA's announcer, then he ended up becoming the executive vice president of WCW. He's responsible for bringing Hulk Hogan to WCW, and then running against the WWE, then eventually WCW got out of business.
A string on your arm. I've been noticing it all night.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now I'm finally saying something.
My wife has been sewing. Anyway, so... Someone involved in the wrestling business who actually is good friends with Hulk Hogan's the executive producing it. So, I mean, it's not like some Hollywood thing. It looks,
right.
And I think the fact that Fighting With My Family has been
doing really well.
Doing really well and critically praised.
Yep.
That I think it's a reason why you'll see more of something like this.
Right.
Yeah. What you got?
So... This, again, has been 2 weeks, so we saw a trailer, an extended trailer for the Twilight Zone show.
Oh, that was awesome.
This was not the little teaser that we got at the Super Bowl.
No.
This was the full-on, like, clips from the show, clips from the episodes. Cannot friggin' wait for this show.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. Did we get a date? April 1st, right?
Yeah. They had an extended trailer or a new trailer for Us. I just really want to see this movie.
I stayed away from it because the first trailer was enough for me.
Yeah. I saw the second one, and I'm like, yeah, I don't need to see anything.
Like, with the Twilight Zone, I'll watch that trailer because, even though I know I'm going to watch the show, because they can't spoil everything for me.
Right.
Yeah, multiple episodes, multiple different storylines, you won't, you know. yeah, I want to see Us, so I'm good with it.
They gave a first official full trailer for Dark Phoenix. You see this?
I did watch that, yep.
And they're not making any bones about it. Like, they say, they went on record right afterwards saying, yes, Mystique dies. Yes, she is killed.
Oh, no, they tell you in the trailer she's dead. They show her funeral, yeah.
Right, and the producers, they were like, does that really happen? They're like, yes, that is not a trick of the camera. That's not like us trying to mislead you. She's really dead.
Why do you do that, do you think?
Because they needed to have some gravity. They needed to kill somebody off. They do it every time Phoenix comes out. They kill somebody off so that everyone can go, and we didn't have as much of an attachment to Cyclops at this point.
Yeah.
Because he's just kind of been a background character.
Yeah.
So they couldn't really do that, but they figured this way probably they could do Jennifer Lawrence and free her up for some other stuff, which is too bad because I liked her Mystique.
Now, okay, so... is it all going to matter at the end? Is Marvel, once Marvel fully finally gets Fox back, are they just going to erase X-Men?
I think they are. Yeah, I think that it's all going to get erased, and we're going to reboot.
Because the New Mutants movie that is out there somewhere, I've now read, because last I heard maybe it's going to show up on Hulu as a Hulu original type movie, but now I've heard maybe it's just going to get shelved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an awful lot of stuff going on with that Disney deal right now, and I think that's not the least of it. But yeah, the movie looks fairly decent. I'll check it out. I probably won't go to the theater to see it.
I mean, I haven't disliked any of these X-Men movies, honestly.
Days of Future Past is still phenomenal. Which, by the way, when I'll tell you this right now, when The Gifted ended this season, they gave us a glimpse at Days of Future Past. Like, that might be the next season.
Oh.
Because a couple episodes before the finale, Blink gets shot. She's holding a portal open for people, and she gets shot. Buckshot right in the chest and falls into the portal. And she's gone, and she shows up at the very end after the, you know, the big baddies are taken care of, and everyone's like, well, we're going to have to do something else. And she pops out, and now she's like, she looks a little different, and she's doing the whole, you know, she's got a little shard that she throws, and that's what opens her portal. So she's obviously evolved her skills.
Yeah.
And she's like, you've got to come with me. I've got to show you something. And you could see, like, some flames burning in the background. So I think they're going to do that, which is cool. Hellboy, Red Band trailer.
Yeah, watch that.
So I've had a couple of people who have told me that it's not Ron Perlman, so I don't want to see it. It's not Ron Perlman, so I don't like it. I agree that Ron Perlman did a great job as Hellboy, but if this is what we've got, if David Harbour is it now, and they're going to do it R-rated with swearing and blood and guts and real action, then I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that, you know, they can both exist. I'm not saying that Ron Perlman's version can't exist.
Right.
But it's been a long time since they've touched that property. It's been over a decade, so let's breathe some life into it. But the Red Band trailer looked great.
Red Band trailer did look really, really good.
Like, the first trailer, I was like, okay, this could be kind of cool. The Red Band trailer, I was like, yep, because it is going to be a hard R.
Yep.
I also saw a trailer, I'm sure you don't care, but they had a more updated commercial trailer for Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, I'm good.
It looks amazing. I kind of was curious when I saw the first trailer. I really want to see this movie now. It looks good, and it looks like a more adult version, because there's like one point where he's in an arena and a Charizard's coming out, and he runs over to the cage and he's like, get me the hell out of here, which is definitely not the most kid-friendly.
Very kid-friendly, yeah.
And then I've just got some news to go through.
Sure.
Night Flyers was canceled by Sci-Fi.
That doesn't surprise me. It surprised me at all.
I'm so happy about that, though, because what a garbage show.
Yeah, it really was.
So,
did you ever finish it?
No.
Yeah, okay. Don't bother.
So there's going to be a new show on Netflix. It's a comedy series from the people who did Children's Hospital, which is on Adult Swim.
Yeah.
It's like a little 10-minute show, and it's just goofy comedy kind of stuff, but it's by some really, like, Rob Caudry's in there, and a lot of the people that you saw in Hot Tub Time Machine, Lake Bell, a lot of current Joe DiTullio.
Okay.
Good comedians. This one's going to be called Medical Police. So Children's Hospital, Medical Police.
Okay.
I'm sure it'll be funny. Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart are now in the Guinness Book of World Records.
For what?
Longest running as a superhero on film.
Yeah, makes sense.
So they're actually in the Guinness Book of World Records for that because they have spent the most time in superhero roles. You know, the same superhero role.
Yeah, right.
So you can't
right.
have, like,
Ryan Chris Reynolds. Evans. I mean, come on. Well, yeah. Chris Evans, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Evans has done multiple superheroes, but...
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure you heard this, but they've officially announced season 2 of The Haunting of Hill House.
No.
It's going to be an anthology now. So the new one is called The Haunting of Bly Manor.
Oh, okay.
Which is another one based on a book based on a real house.
Nice.
New people, new house. Isn't that exciting?
Dude, the Crooked Neck Lady. That'll get better than that. That reveal. One of the all-time best reveals in movie or cinema history. Honestly. For a character, yeah.
It was phenomenal.
Bent neck lady.
NBC is enlisting Adam Pauly and Abby Elliott. Adam Pauly, of course, from Happy Endings. Abby Elliott, Chris Elliott's daughter. She was the psychotic last girlfriend of Ted on...
Yes.
It's going to be a show that is called Uninsured. It's going to be from the Goldbergs writer and co-executive producer, Dan Levy. Pauly will also be a co-executive producer. Focuses on Dave and Rebecca, young parents who must suddenly take care of the former's parents when they run into money issues. That's the most they'll give us, but I like both of those characters, or both those actors, I should say.
Oh, hey, yes. I saw a trailer for the return of Superstore.
I want that show back so bad.
This Thursday, March 7th.
Good.
Yeah, I saw that. It's a whole, like, singing and dance number about wearing the blue vest. Or wearing, like, it makes fun of it all. I can't give it justice. You need to watch it.
Okay.
Because they ridicule it. Like, we have no insurance, or you know what I mean?
Yeah. Hulu's going to have a show based on the Vampire Chronicles, which was, you remember Interview with the Vampire?
Yes.
Anne Rice's books?
Yes.
They're going to have an actual TV series. Some people are probably very interested. The guy who plays Black Manta in Aquaman.
Yes.
He is Candyman for Jordan Peele's reboot of Candyman.
Jordan Peele. I wish I could high-five him.
Right? Him and Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, basically.
I'd like to high-five both of them.
When Jordan Peele, I never would have thought... he was a comedian. He did comedy stuff.
Right.
Everything that was comedy.
Now, granted, some of their skits were brilliant.
But everything
that was comedy. Like the racist zombies? Yeah. I mean...
Right. Oh, that was awesome.
That was fucking great.
But, like, when they... And that was hilarious, but it was funny, though.
Right.
But when he came out with Get Out,
yeah,
I went and watched it. I was like, this is an episode of The Twilight Zone.
This is phenomenal.
This is amazing. And then, he's doing The Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
Okay. He's doing this movie called Us? Okay. Oh, he's redoing Candyman? Okay.
Yeah.
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 I'm good with it all.
The Babysitter's Club is coming to Netflix.
I don't care.
I don't really either, but again...
I remember the books when I was a kid. Yeah.
The Oscars. Marvel actually picked up some Oscars.
Yeah.
Best Animated Series.
But of course...
Best Animated Movie was Into the Spider-Verse, which I have pre-ordered because I love that movie.
And the Black Panther picked up some, like, Best Sound Editing or whatever. Some
costume design.
Secondary Oscars, but still.
Oscars for Marvel movies.
But here's the thing, because fans suck. Well, these movies aren't put up there for Oscars. And then Black Panther does,
why couldn't it have gotten more?
Why couldn't
it
have been a different movie? Like, why Black Panther gets the nod? Like, fans sometimes suck.
Speaking of fans sucking, have you been following the Captain Marvel review bombing and how Rotten Tomatoes has actually had to change their format?
Yes, because people are... false reviews.
Yeah. They're changing the score of it by putting up false reviews, saying this movie's going to suck and blah, 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 and getting it to tank, which, strangely enough, they did for The Last Jedi and Black Panther.
Yes.
And Black Panther just won 7 Academy Awards.
Right.
But, yeah, they're doing that. And then when those reviews were taken down, they started doing the Rotten Tomatoes had a thing, want to see or no thanks, I don't want to see, not interested. So they started doing the not interested, and leaving comments saying, this is just for social justice warriors. Why do they have to do this with women and blah, 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 blah. I'll go watch Alita Battle Angel. It's really interesting because a lot of them not only dogged on Captain Marvel, but said how great Alita Battle Angel is and was going to be. And that's what they wanted to see for a strong female character. Not sure why. Seems like they really got their priorities screwed up there. But, yeah, fuck fans sometimes.
Yeah.
And then the only other one that I had was they're very close to closing the deal for their Bond villain for the next movie.
Really?
Rami Malek.
I could see it.
I could totally see it.
I could see that. I mean, sometimes when you watch him in, well, Mr. Robot, or even as Freddie Mercury on Queen, if you take away the sound and you just watch stills, he could totally be a
Bond villain,
yeah.
So it'll be Daniel Craig, and this will probably be Craig's last one, but yeah, apparently he's very close to sealing the deal.
And it's taken a long time for this last Bond flick to come out.
It has.
Yeah.
And a lot of controversy with Daniel Craig being open about not wanting to do it, to the point of, like, insulting it sometimes, and yeah.
So here's an interesting little factoid.
Yes.
After Endgame in April,
yes.
Do you realize Marvel does not have any movies in production right now?
They're
not actively filming any movies right now.
That we know of. They've been very clear to say that they are not telling anyone what their release schedule is beyond Endgame.
Because after Endgame, the next scheduled release is unknown Marvel movie. It's like May 2020.
No, we do still have Spider-Man comes out after Endgame.
Yes, but that's still Sony.
No. Oh yeah. I see.
That's still Sony. I mean, it's part of the universe, but
right. Yeah,
you know, because we have Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm curious. Like, usually when we go to see a Marvel movie, like for instance, we're going to go see Captain Marvel. So you know the post credit scene is going to have something to do with Endgame.
Right.
We're going to go see Endgame. They have post credit scenes. What? I don't know.
Maybe Spider-Man. Maybe nothing.
Same thing with Spider-Man, like, what's going to happen there?
Yeah.
But yeah, isn't that kind of weird? Like,
it is.
But Endgame is closing out Phase 3, right?
Correct.
Yeah. You know, rewatching some of these Marvel movies recently, and Rude's been rewatching them, you know, like, weekly. You know, his one
he's
a week.
He's got a calendar.
Right, his one a week, whatever, till the release of Endgame. Marvel has done a brilliant job crafting a story with all these movies for the last 10 years.
Yep.
They really have.
They've done a very good job.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
They've kept us entertained. They've interwoven them. They've let people be individuals, but still part of a bigger universe.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
I like it.
I do too.
I like it a lot.
So I guess that's about it.
Yeah. That sums it up, I guess.
Oh, we've gone longer than that before, but yeah.
Yeah, I've gone more than 2 hours, but 2 hours is still a long time.
It is. A lot of talking.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of listening.
Mm.
Anyways, I'm on Twitter. It's Superstar Mel.
I guess I am too at the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, everyone.